following is a KVON Sports presentation. It's high school football coming to you from Memorial Stadium in Napa, California, as the Napa High Indians are hosting Nevada Union of Grass Valley Miners. It's Friday Night Football. Good evening, everyone, and welcome in to our football broadcast tonight following that exciting pitching performance by the Oakland A's Daniel Mangus, a two-hit complete game shutout in that 4-0 victory. And we're set to tell you about tonight's action on the football field as we have three-time defending MEL champion Napa High with a 1-2 record hosting the Nevada Union Grass Valley Miners, also 1-2. Our broadcast is sent your way with the good wishes of our Napa Valley Sports Boosters. I'm Ira C. Smith, and we're joined with our color commentator extraordinaire as he's played the game, he has coached the game, and now he tells about it, Kent Fry.
Well, thank you, Ira, and it's wonderful to be here tonight, and what a privilege to see two great programs historically who are very familiar with this field. Nevada Union comes in here, Ira, very familiar with the Memorial Stadium as they played the Vintage Crushers many times in the early 2000s, and of late they've played Napa High in their non-league schedule. Two great programs that have, you know, have big tests in front of them as they're both rebuilding after great seasons, and it's going to be a fun battle to see. Napa High getting their first victory last week down in San Francisco against Reardon, and it's just fun to battle the wing tee offense, the historical wing tee that everybody runs some version of one sort or the other here in high school football. So it's going to be a good battle tonight, Ira. Looking forward to it.
Both of these teams will be in new leagues next year, and that'll be a big help to Nevada Union. The league they are in now is so strong, and they will be in a Division III league next year. And, of course, Napa High not only will be in the new league, it'll be in the new section, moving from the San Joaquin section over into the North Coast section. And we'll be finding out on October 3rd the name of the league. That's when the Board of Managers meet and they decide officially to make those changes. And they're expecting a unanimous vote. They don't see any roadblocks to what is going to be happening in. And, of course, we'll be talking about that and the new alignment with Justin Sienna coming into the same league with Napa and Vintage. And joining them will be American Canyon. And also in the new league will be Sonoma Valley and two teams from Petaluma, Casa Grande Gauchos and the Petaluma Trojans. So that's the makeup of the new league next year for Napa High and Vintage. So welcome into tonight's action. Also joining us is our sideline reporter. We've had Mark McLeod doing a great job for many years. We've got a freshman out at Napa Valley College with us this year, Jacob Grant. And it looks like Jacob's going to be a fine night weather-wise on that sideline.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be 72 at kickoff with wind blowing 12 miles per hour south-southwest.
Okay. Well, we'll be hearing throughout the broadcast from Jacob. And we'd like to say hello to a lady who has had a bit of sports background. We're going to let her tell us about that. But she is more known for founding, publishing, writing, and just about everything you can think of with Napa Valley Life, Carrie Rule. Carrie, nice to have you aboard.
Thanks, Ira. It's really great to be here with Kent and everybody in the crew here for KVON. I'm excited to take the statistician seat. It's been a while since I've done high school football, but I'm up for the challenge.
Give us a little bit of your background and tell us about what else you've done in sports.
Well, I used to run track, cross country, and I was a cheerleader in high school, and I got injured my senior year, so I had the honor of announcing both the some of the basketball and the track meets, and I also wrote for the local newspaper and covered all the statisticians. After college, I went to school to become a sportscaster, but, you know, back in the 1980s, it was really hard for women to get into sportscasting, so I took the news route. But I did do a lot of work with we call remote sports. I work for a company called PASS, Pro-Am Sports System, which was eventually bought out by Fox Sports. I also worked with ESPN, and I also had a little small little bit with the Detroit Tigers, so I'm ready for it.
All right, we're ready to have Carrie Rule with us tonight, and as usual, Charles Kennedy is our engineer back at the KVON studio. By the way, Carrie is from Michigan, and out of respect for that, I wore my Michigan cap tonight. So.
And it looks really good on you, Ira.
That's your thing.
And Carrie's a whole lot better looking than Dino, I can tell you that.
Well, Dino Alessio taking tonight off, so Carrie will be sharpening the pencil and getting all set with that. We'll be hearing from the coaches. Jesus Chuy Martinez is in his first year as head coach at Napa High. He actually graduated from Napa in 2004. They, as you remember, Kent, they had some real good football here then.
Absolutely. Chuy, you know, grew up in this system. Grew up playing youth football and then following Napa High, played for Napa High, and then came back to coach. And he's kind of just fills the shoes of Troy. I mean, it's hard to fill the shoes of Troy Mott. But Chuy stepped in here under adverse condition. He's done a really good job. He has good coaches helping him, and that's beneficial for him. So, you know, Chewy's learning on the fly here as well, Ira. You know, as a head coach, a lot of responsibilities come with that, just not coaching, but the administration level as well.
And on the opposite side of the field, Dennis Houlihan, he is in his fifth year as the head coach. The unenviable assignment of taking over from very successful Dave Humperts, who had been there, seemed like forever. He'd just been a long-time fixture in football coaching at that Grass Valley school. And, Kent, you were alluding to the situation regarding the schools and enrollment. The enrollment at Nevada Union used to be around 2,500. Now it is at 1,460.
Yeah, a big drop, Ira, just in the enrollment, which drops the talent pool, obviously, and the level of talent. You know, back in the 2000s when they were at that 2,500 enrollment, Nevada Union was a powerhouse, not only in Northern California, but in the state. Yeah. They were a very well-run program, and Dave Humperts and his staff were always so fun to go up and coach with and against, and we just enjoyed going up there and, you know, first of all, grabbing a Miner Burger. Boy, I tell you, they make great Miner Burgers up there in Grass Valley. And then, of course, they would make the long trip down here as well and play and put on a great show for the fans, as both teams would put on a lot of points.
I was talking to the announcers from KNCO, that's the station up there in Grass Valley, and they said they'd love to come to Napa. They don't get here very often, but the food here is excellent for stadium food. They also told us where some of the places were that were not good, but this was at the top of their list, and Grant was at the bottom of their list.
I can imagine that.
Okay, well, we'll be hearing from those coaches. As we mentioned, each team, 1 and 2 coming in, and we have last week, Napa had a victory. That game was played at City College in San Francisco, and it was over San Francisco Reardon High School, 28-13, while Nevada Union lost a tough one as they were beaten by Lincoln of Placer County, 23-22. The last year when these two teams played at Grass Valley, Napa won 35-34, and that started a string of 7 straight losses for the Miners. And so we'll find out tonight if Napa can put another L there in the Department of Wins and Losses for Nevada Union. But should be an interesting matchup. Let me just pass along a couple other scores in freshman football. Napa defeated Nevada Union 33-13 in the first of the 3 games. In the second game that just ended a little while ago, Antelope, that's right, not Nevada Union, as they had about 16 or 17 players that were disciplined and could not suit up for the game, and so Antelope JV team came in from the Sacramento area to play Napa and led at the end of the first quarter 27-0. And they got into the fourth quarter and had a running clock, and It wound up Antelope defeating Napa JVs 41-0. And we'll be hearing some scores from the Vintage Crushers as they're playing at Wood Creek. That's in the Roseville area of Sacramento. Justin Siena, which is 0-3, is playing at Hercules tonight, which has a 3-0 record. We'll be getting updates on American Canyon as the Wolves are home to the Wilsie Wood team from Vacaville, the Wildcats there. St. Helena's at Cloverdale, Calistoga 3-0 at Anderson Valley tonight. Sonoma Valley is at Montgomery, and tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock in Kent, this is what they consider the big game in Petaluma. It's at 3 in the afternoon on a Saturday afternoon at Casa Grande High School.
So Casa Grande versus Petaluma, the inter-sitter rivalry?
Yep.
That'll be a good one to watch.
It's going to be interesting with the new league and see if they don't schedule something like that at the end of the season instead of early on as they are this year.
So, Ira, what's the new league again? The teams will be made up in that?
You mean want me to repeat those? Okay, well,
we have the four
Napa,
teams.
Napa and Vintage from here in Napa. Justin Siena joins that league, and American Canyon comes into it. And then we get Sonoma Valley. They will be part of it. And then those two teams from Petaluma High School and Casa Grande. It'll be a seven-team league. So each week or in the final 7 weeks of the season, you will have one team with a league bye, which means they'll have to fill that with some sort of a non-league matchup.
That'll be an interesting league. I think it's going to be a great league to watch, especially with Justin and American Canyon joining the Napa Vintage schools as far as league play goes.
Yep. Well, it's nice to have the Napa Valley Marching Band present with us tonight. Mike Riondo, nice job. This is his ninth year as the band director, always a colorful sight, adding to the festivities and proceedings of a football game. The good thing about it, fans are still coming in, particularly on the Napa side of the field, not getting here too early because that sun hits them directly in the eyes. They're over there on the east side looking to the west. Our broadcast vantage point is in the booth on the west side of the field, and we're fortunate enough to be right there at the 50-yard line and have excellent view from which to help describe the action of the ball game. It's going to be an interesting matchup as far as the quarterbacks, both of whom are seniors. We'll find out more about them and hear from the coaches when we continue on our countdown to kickoff. Well, we're here at Memorial Stadium in Napa, California for the high school football broadcast of Nevada Union of Grass Valley coming in to do battle with Napa High. And nice to have you aboard. Thanks for joining us and hope you enjoy the proceedings tonight as we send them your way on KVON. And let's find out a little more about this minor team that's coming in from Grass Valley. For many years, Dave Humpert had been their very successful football coach, and 5 years ago, after Humpert's retired, Dennis Hooligan took over as the head coach.
Well, Dennis, when they think of Nevada Union, they think of excellence in football, but what a tough league you guys are in.
Yeah, we're going through a big change with our school. We're struggling in the SFL, which is a big Division I monster of a league, and we're declining enrollment. This is our last year. We're going to be down in a new league next year in a Division III, which is more fitting for us. And so we've had to take our lumps after having so much success.
That, get away from Folsom and some of those schools.
Yeah, it's been a struggle for us. Yeah.
Who will some of the new teams be in your league?
Placer, Lincoln of Lincoln. Ponderosa, Rio Linda, us, and Oakmont.
Uh-huh. Yeah, a little more reasonable there.
Yeah, we've been waiting for 4 years. It should have happened 4 years ago. We just didn't see how bad the declining enrollment was going to be and how fast. So we got caught in that four-year cycle, and so we're just having to do what we got to do.
Just because of Bear River?
No, it's not. It's just because of, we have a retirement community, and we don't have a lot of young families moving in right now, and there's not a lot of jobs to offer.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us about your background as far as coming in as the head coach for the Miners.
Yeah, I graduated from there in 1989, played with Blankenship. I coached with Humphers when I came back, and so I was on the staff for quite a while. Just was asked, you know, I knew we had a group coming up. I also knew that we had, it was going to be a hard change from when Dave left. So I put my name in there and was able to get it, and we're just trying to rebuild.
Well, I tell you, following Humphert is not an easy assignment.
Yeah, I did it twice. I followed Blankenship my first head stint, and then I followed Humphert the second. So, yeah, it was difficult.
What's been the strong suit for the Miners? I know it's probably not the offense.
Well, you know, right now this year, we've got a really good number of seniors. We've got a lot of guys that played last year as juniors and quite a few that played as sophomores. And defensively, we're doing okay. We've struggled the last game on offense, but we've got a lot of playmakers on the field. We're just hoping that we can put it together.
Have you been able to avoid injury?
We have two guys out right now, so yes and no. You're going to have certain injuries here and there. It just so happens that they're both our centers. So when we lose one, we lose about four because it switches everybody around.
Well, have a good season, particularly good luck in that league.
Thank you very much.
And those are the comments from Dennis Houlihan, who is in his fifth year as the head coach. And Kent, just mentioning some of those teams in the Sierra Foothill League, four of them are 3-0 at this juncture.
Absolutely. You know, they're in a very tough Division I league right now, you know, with Folsom, Ira, and that's, you know.
Folsom, Granite Bay, Oak Ridge, Rockland, all of whom are 3-0.
Yeah, and, you know, let's face it, Folsom defending state champs, and they're just, what a program they have going right
and
now.
And Granite Bay has had state championship. Rockland's been right up there.
Yeah, they're all
and
tough.
And the team that has lost one game in their league is Del Oro, and they've got a heck of a football program,
Daryl Oro is very, very tough. Just day in and day out, that is a league to beat. Boy, just being in that league is tough.
And another team that is playing against their league team, Wood Creek, is the Vintage Crushers. As Vintage is in that area, or Sierra Foothill League tonight. And we've got a score on the JV game, Kent.
Absolutely. Just had a quick note here from athletic director over at Vintage, Cam Neal, just texted me and said, Vintage JV's won 18-14 over Wood Creek with Bryce Ead leading the offense and Briar Scott leading the way on the defensive side.
Okay, we will be taking time out, and we will be back here at Memorial Stadium as we're getting set for tonight's varsity football action. We'll be back after this timeout. Well, let's find out a little more about what we can expect from the Napa High Indians tonight as we spoke with Chuy Martinez in his first year as the head coach.
Well, Chuy, you and the team had to feel pretty good getting that first victory.
Absolutely. You know, it was exciting for the kids to get that first win under their belt. But definitely a big relief for them.
You're playing a team now that comes from one of the top conferences in the state, and the team has had a winning history. So you know they run the wing T probably.
Absolutely. You know, they've ran that same offense for many, many years. I remember watching the games against them when I was a kid here at the old Memorial Stadium, and they were always fun. So they've ran the same offense.
Have injuries been stacking up?
A little bit here and there, but, you know, it's all part of the game, and we just kind of take it and go with it.
Last game that we broadcast, Madigan had an injury. Do you know his status?
Not at this point. We don't know how long he's going to be out for, so.
Well, can you tell us about how practices have been this week since you're going into this game on a winning streak?
We kind of left last week behind, and we were back to, you know, fundamentals and, you know, working on the little things just like we do every week, you know, win or lose. And we always go back to the same thing and just really going back to a foundation of, you know, taking care of the football, you know, tackling on defense, getting into our coverages, you know, making sure we're doing the little things right.
Speaking of defense, you have to be pleased the way that they have responded.
Absolutely. You know, our defensive line has done a great job, which has really made our linebacker play really, really good. Our secondary has gotten a lot better. But, yeah, our defensive line is definitely our strongest point on the defense.
Last game we broadcast, noticed that Herter was getting a lot of attention from the defense. They were sort of keying on him.
I don't know if they were or weren't, but it's definitely the wrong guy to attack. You know, he tackles very, very well. He's very aggressive, and he's great in coverage.
What about the balance of the squad? Then many shifts, or are you going about what you've been using?
As far as the offense, we try and get the guys, a lot of different guys, the ball and get different looks of defense, just so we keep everybody fresh.
What do the assistant coaches have to say now about the way that the team is coming along?
I would say the same thing we do every week. You know, trying to keep the team together, trying to keep them competing, and just getting after it every week.
Okay, those are the comments from Chewy Martinez. And just in case you're wondering about how other teams in the MEL are doing, Vintage and Vacaville are right at the top. Vintage is 2-0. Vacaville is 2-1. Armio has won a game. They're 1-1. Napa's, we mentioned, tied with Wilsey Wood, each at 1-2. And Rodriguez, 0-1. So Rodriguez lost its only game to Akalani's last week, 35-10. Vacaville drubbed Yuba City, 44-19 was the score there. And Armio defeated Jesse Bethel of Vallejo, 38-30. Wilsey Wood lost to Liberty of Brentwood, 34-23. So those were some of the scores from last week. Rodriguez is hosting Fairfield tonight. They got a chance to win that. Vacaville is home to Granite Bay. Kent, that'll be a pretty good game to watch, too.
That'll be a fun game to watch. A lot of speed, a lot of power, a lot of finesse, and a lot of good coaching.
Vintage at Wood Creek, of course, and Wilsey Wood at American Canyon. We'll get the scores on those games as we progress through the evening. The Miners have finished their warm-ups. They've gone back into what used to be the Quonset, but we can't call them that now, a very nice facility at the north end of the stadium.
I tell you, Ira, I'm one of the old school guard who misses the old Memorial Stadium, but they have done such a terrific job on this new stadium in its seventh year, and I'm loving it each time I come here. It's a beautiful. So, Carrie, I mean, I don't know if you've seen the new stadium or not.
Well, I love the new stadium, and actually listening to the band in the background, that brings a lot of memories back for me. My son was in the drum line for Napa High. He graduated in 2013, so I know Mr. Riendo very well. Went on a cruise with him with the high school band, but this stadium is just awesome. I can understand why visitors want to come here, eat the food here, and play on this gorgeous field.
It's a beautiful setting.
I remember when it wasn't, so.
Well, it still was a great stadium. People loved to play here, even though there was a short distance from the sideline to the actual wall, the concrete wall.
It was maybe only about 7 yards, Ira. I mean, you were right on top of the field as a spectator, which was a lot of fun.
Well, since you were a wide receiver, you probably had some close encounters with the wall.
Well, you know, especially when the coaches get on you, you get up against the wall too. So,
yeah. Well, anyway, it's a beautiful stadium. It's a beautiful night for football, and we'll be set for the action coming up here very shortly. The officials tonight include Lance Rogers. He's the referee. Frank Griffin is the umpire. Eric Cordova is the back judge. We had him last week as well. Tim Landris is the head linesman, and Greg Stacy is the line judge. So that's a bit of information as far as the officials. The Napa Indians are still warming up to our right, which is the south end of the stadium. And we were going to have little delay, we thought, in the start of the game, but they have picked up some of that time. What had happened was that because the Miners did not have enough to suit up for a JV game that they contacted Antelope, and Antelope got here, but they needed some extra warm-up time because they got here just a little bit before it was time for their 5:15 kickoff. So they were a little late on that, but with the running clock there, with that big lead, why they soon ate up that clock. Well, we have some people coming to the center of the field from, looks like, law enforcement, Kent.
It does, and I know, Jake, you probably have an idea of what's going on here tonight with the law enforcement.
Well, it's just I saw earlier that it was Law Enforcement Appreciation Night, and they were inviting people to come out and walk in a procession on field before the national anthem.
Ira, it looks like we have a lot of representatives from the Napa County Sheriff's Department and the Napa City Police Department as well. I know the principal and the AD are out there, and right now they're shaking hands with all the officials and recognition, and there's a blue Stars and Stripes out there representing the law enforcement flag.
Well, as you mentioned, the principal, Annie Petrie, is starting her third year as principal, and we've got Napa Valley Physical Therapy Center, represented by Rob Brandon here tonight. Bruce McCall is over in Roseville there with the Vintage Crushers, representing the Napa Valley Physical Therapy Center, as they continue to provide their services for free. The law enforcement officials have been acknowledged since they're heading back over to the east side of the field. The Napa High Band forming in the south end zone. The Napa football players are still loosening up there between the basically the 15 and the 25-yard lines out there, as the team from Grass Valley still in their locker room getting ready to make their appearance here shortly. Napa band will be coming out onto the field. It'll take them a little bit of time to get everyone out there. As you look to next week, Kent, Napa High will travel to Chico to play state champion Pleasant Valley.
Well, you know, you got to love Napa High schedule's non-league schedule. It's a tough schedule. I mean, they opened up against Pittman of Turlock, then Rockland, then they went down and played Reardon in San Francisco. Now they face Nevada Union and go up and face Pleasant Valley up there in Chico. What a great non-league schedule. Yeah. And if you can come out of there with a couple of wins, it's going to make you a better team. It really will. And I know Napa High's banged up a little bit, but if they can get away at this game and then obviously next week injury-free and go into league, you know, they're just going to be battle-hardened, and they're going to be feeling better about themselves knowing that they played with the big boys for five games. And that'll give them a lot of momentum going in for the league play.
Well, it will be a tough assignment next week, and they will not be home again until they start league. The start league play on the road, but till October 13th, they will be hosting Rodriguez. That's their next home game, so that's quite a ways down the line. Next week, as you heard, it's Pleasant Valley. Then a bye on September the 29th. They have a bye week. Then they start league play in the MEL for the final year for them in that league on October the 6th. They will be at Vacaville against Will C. Wood. Now, Will C. Wood is building a new football stadium. It will not be ready for that game, so Wood will be hosting Napa High, and it will be over at the Thomas Zanino Field, formerly Youngblood Stadium, there at the Vacaville High School. Well, they had the flip of the coin. Let's go to Jacob Grant.
I believe, Ira, I think Jake's working his way down, or here he comes now, but I believe that Napa High accepted the won the toss and accepted to receive the ball, and Nevada Union is going to be kicking off.
Okay, and we still have yet to have the national anthem. Looking at Nevada Union, next week they will be at Rockland, and then the following week they'll be at Del Oro. Now, they got some tough assignments coming up. Next week, Vintage will be here at Memorial Stadium hosting Lincoln of Stockton, and we'll broadcast that game beginning at 7 o'clock. Justin Siena will be hosting San Rafael. Now, initially on the schedule, that game was listed for September 29th, but it is instead on September the 22nd, next Friday night. Our game on KBYN, however, will be American Canyon hosting San Francisco Mission. That'll be 7:15 next week. And St. Helena next week will be home to St. Vincent de Paul. Calistoga also home to Rincon Valley. Sonoma Valley will be home to Elsie Allen. All of that coming up next week. Napa High making its way onto the field now, forming an arrow there at the as they have the cadence to march out. The drum major leading the way, and then the arrow shooting right toward the 50-yard line. And just to mention, those of you who have relatives or friends in the band, because of the nature of the rendition, we are unable to pick it up the music from the national anthem, so we will take a little break here and then come back at the conclusion of it. So we'll be back at Memorial Stadium for the start of the game as Napa High is set to take on Nevada Union. Welcome back in Memorial Stadium with the Napa High rendition of the national anthem. We're set for football action. We have given you the names of the officials, and they are conferring now around the 30-yard line toward the north end of the stadium, and we're just about ready to get underway. Looking at that line that's going to start out for Napa High, centering is going to be Christian Sanchez, and the right tackle is Marcus Lex, and the right guard tonight is going to be Logan Zampa. Now, he was a right tackle before, so he has shifted over to the guard. The left tackle is Juan Loyola, and the left guard is Ethan Harrison. The tight end is Cameron Ross. In that backfield, getting the start at quarterback is Caden Cortese, a 5'11 senior. Brandon Herter gets the start at tailback. And Dawson Trent will be the fullback. And starting at a wide receiver is the sophomore, started the season as the quarterback and plays defense as a cornerback and gets his start as a wide receiver tonight, Isaiah Newton. So the other wide receiver is Alex Perez de Leon, PDL.
You know, making adjustments, Ira, that's what you do as a coaching staff. And you got some teams, kids banged up here and there, and you just have to move some people around on the line. I know Coach Andrew Hall on the offensive line, he makes sure that, you know, whether you're playing left tackle or left guard, that you also know the right tackle or right guard and the center position. So if someone goes down, you can move over and slide over and so forth. And that's exactly what the staff of Napa High has done. Made a few adjustments, and there's our lineup.
And there is Owen Dalbon, a 6-foot senior, placing the ball at the 40-yard line, moving back to the 30, getting set to kick off, and we're underway, end over end, soaring back to the 5-yard line, back to about the 3-yard line, where Napa fields the ball, and it is Michael Lattice bringing it out to cross the 15-yard line. We'll see where they do spot the ball, around the 17-yard line as far as Lattice was able to get out there. We're set now for the first play from scrimmage.
Nice open field tackle there by Derek Lopez for the Miners of Nevada Union.
Lopez is just a junior, and he's only about 5'5 and 140 pounds, too.
Well, that's what they have him listed, so I bet he's about 5'3 and a half.
Yeah. So Napa coming up with its first possession from the line of scrimmage, PDL out to the left side, a wide to the right side, going in motion. The fake handoff, the give to the fullback, and nothing opened up there as, well, I guess that was Herter. They tried to open a hole there for Brandon Herter, but he was only able to get about a yard there.
Yeah, they faked to Isaiah Newton, who was the motion back, and gave to Herter from the tailback spot. But I tell you, the middle linebacker, Hayden Lee, Ira, he just stood him up and dropped him down.
Newton again comes out to the right side. Not too far out. And Cortese looks for a pump over the middle. It's complete for a first down. And on a quick pop pass, catching the ball, Cameron Ross advancing across the 30. Hit at the 35, falls forward to the 38-yard line. First down, Napa.
And Ira, good call on that pop pass. Nevada Union likes to play man on the corners. They fake the option where the defensive back came up to take pitch. His responsibility is a pitch man, which left that pop pass open in the seam. And a great job by Cortese to find the receiver there.
Well, Michael Blattis has come in as a wide receiver. Going to the sideline is Isaiah Newton. And they set a trip set out to the left side, putting a man in motion. That's Blattis. The pass to Blattis. He has it, the 35, the 40, the 45. Blattis to midfield. He's the 45. Hit there and dropped it about the 41-yard line. Michael Blattis. Boy, he held onto the ball, but I'm not sure how. He did not have it close to the body. He had it out a little distance, but nobody could pop it out of his hand.
And I tell you what set that up was Dawson Trent and PDL out there on the blocks, Ira. They're the ones who made that play happen. They made key blocks on the outside where he could just get up there and go. Great play.
Cortese, the quarterback, will have Isaiah Newton, the sophomore, out there as a wide receiver on this play. PDL goes to the right side. And they have a fake on the option. The quarterback keeps the ball. He's inside the 40. Flag comes out as he is dropped at about the 37. It looks like it's going to be a hold against Napa High. The referee giving the indication. Well, no, it looks like it may go against the Miners now. It's referee indicating it will be against the Miners. Oh, the illegal use of the helmet on that
Yeah, that's tackle. A tough call because, you know, Cortese was going down and the defender's coming down at the same time. I question that call. I really do. I think that's just two athletes making a good play on each other. I really do.
We're just underway in the first quarter. No score on our game. Napa taking the opening kick and getting down now to the 22-yard line of the Miners. And Cortese takes the snap, rolls out to his left, tucks it in. He's at the 20. He's down the 15, tackled from behind and falls down to about the 14-yard line.
Excellent read by Caden Cortese. He's riding that option. He rode the fullback hard there. Kept it in there, then pulled it at the last minute for a nice pickup of 8 yards. Ira, Napa's offense is looking sharp this very first drive here.
They're not into the end zone yet. They've had some trouble in that red zone.
They have, but they're moving the ball. They look crisp. They're air-free football right now, so they're doing good.
Fuentes is, and he's out wide to the left side, and Cortese on the option, keeps the ball. Now he pitches it back, nowhere to go. Boy, there is a flag. I don't know if that could be a face mask there or something. We'll wait. But the pitch went to Isaiah Newton, and Isaiah would probably just as preferred Cortese to keep the ball.
Marcus Lex out there, the big guy, tackle, missed his block out there, which left him open for the tackle.
Looks like the penalty again against the Miners. Personal foul.
Wow.
Wow, that's half the distance to the goal line. So Napa will get a first down out of that and have the ball first down and goal to go from the 9-yard line. So Napa with an excellent scoring opportunity now. First down, goal to go from the 9-yard line. No score, just over 9 minutes to go here in the first quarter. Cameron Ross brings the play in from the sideline, and that'll send PDL over to the sideline. Ross in that backfield. As they break from the huddle. And Fuentes again out wide to the left side. Wing on the right is Newton. He goes in motion. And they hand off on the counter, and they get a couple yards, which that tight territory is tough for Dawson Trent to get much yardage. But the six-foot senior is able to get 2 yards on the play.
Yeah, they like to fake that motion back to Cortese. They like to fake, or Cortese, excuse me, faking that to Isaiah Newton, and then they came back to Dawson Trent on a little trap play, Ira, and right there was Justin Houlihan from number 20 of the Miners to stuff that play.
Yeah, He is the coach's son. He's a senior and a very good football player. Well, in the gun formation, Cortese keeps the ball, cuts in. He's the 5, the 4. He's hit, dropped into the 3-yard line. Cortese on a fake out to the left flat area, then rolling, made a cut on the inside, and got down to the 3-yard line where it's going to be third down and goal to go.
And that's just that zone left spread option, if you will, where he rides the motion back. Then he either gives it or he pulls it. That time he made the correct read, pulled. Good pickup. Now it's a long three or four yards for the third and goal here, Ira.
He's under center now with a high formation backfield, and the handoff, they're not going to get in. They're going to be stopped at the line of scrimmage as Sam Baby. That's a little different wrinkle than we have seen.
Right. The reason that didn't, Nevada Union came on a blitz is what happened with Duke Morales, the linebacker shooting from that outside linebacker, came up right off the B gap and just stuffed him in the background.
So it's fourth down. In fact, they lost a yard on it. It's back at the 4-yard line. Fourth down and goal to go. Are they going to try a field goal? No, doesn't look like it. Looks like they're going to go for it here with PDL out to the right side, and Newton slots inside of him. Quarterback's back to pass, rolling out to the right, looking to the end zone, firing it, and missed. PDL fired it too close in front of him. And as I said, they get in the red zone, but they don't score.
They have tough punching it in. They have a tough time punching it in, Ira. That's right. And that pass was kind of, they were rolling up. He had PDL open right away, but he held on the ball too long, and then they scrambled. PDL cut back to the backside, but Trossen did actually got his big paw on it. Thought the ball was coming to him, Dawson Trent, and then went right into PDL and couldn't hang on.
Well, we did see PDL's father on the chain gang in the previous game. I don't see him out there now.
Yeah, he's still down there.
He's still, and Mr. Herter is down there as well. Brandon Herter's father on. And it is the Miners putting the ball in play, trying to run to the right side and getting just a short yardage was Dawson Fay, a junior. He's one of their leading rushers.
And stopped by Dawson Trent, number 17.
So we had a Dawson and a Dawson.
Dawson on Dawson in that play.
The quarterback is Owen Dalbon. He's a 6-foot, 175-pound senior. He brings him up to the line, and he gets under his center, who is Garrity. And there he tries to hand off, keeps the ball, lunges across the 5, gets then flags come in.
Wow, 2 flags there after the play was over.
Yeah, after the play. Boy, these are what you would consider, that's probably a personal foul, which would be a 15-yard penalty. And that's what it is, personal foul, illegal use of the helmet against Napa. So that's twice that that particular play has been called as a foul on once on each team.
As the tackler and the ball carrier are coming down, they're both trying to get low. I know the rule was designed to prevent head injuries. I get that. I think it's more designed, though, when a player is standing upright and you're leading with the helmet.
From the 22-yard line, first down, they go to the right side. Nielsen cuts in. He gets across the 20, out to 25. He's spilled at about the 27-yard line. Nielsen on a run to the right.
It's just a buck sweep out of that wing tee look where they fake the fullback and give to the back coming across. Michael Blattis on the stop.
Yeah, they have Dawson Fay, Tyler Nielsen. Hayden Lee gets in there too some as a running back. Putting Dawson in motion and try over right tackle and stacked up right there. They did not get much of a gain, if any, with...
That time they faked the buck sweep, but they gave it to the fullback on a trap. Keola Frazier was there first, Ira, to stop it and hold it up with Dawson Trent coming in cleaning up.
So they have a single setback with the wing to the right. Quarterback passes, and it is incomplete. Pass was intended for Hayden Fay, who is older brother of Dawson Fay. So it will be fourth down and back in their own territory. No score, 5 minutes to go. We're in the first quarter, and Napa has a chance to get in some good field position now. They send back the sophomore, Isaiah Newton, back to his own 40-yard line. The punter is also the quarterback, Owen Dalbon. He gets the snap about the 18-yard line, gets a good punt away. And the punt is muffed, and it's picked up by the Miners. As I think Isaiah Newton was just too confident that he was not going to have any trouble fielding that punt. It slipped right through his hands and was recovered by the Miners at the Napa 36-yard line.
Yeah, that's just a big turnover right there, Ira. That hurts. That really does. That ball was right in his breadbasket. No reason to drop that.
Just a sophomore. He's learning, and that you want to try to get in good field position, and he had the opportunity, but could not hold on to the punt. So the Miners get a big break there at the Napa 36-yard line where they get a first down and 10 inside of 5 minutes to go. First quarter, wing to the left. And the quarterback runs to the left on the option. He pitches back to Faye, turns the corner, the 40, the 35, the 30, down the sideline, and he's pushed out of bounds finally by Dawson Trent.
That's a nice little play right out of Napa's playbook, Ira, running the option. Key block there by Tyler Nielsen, number 5, the lead back, made a nice block.
So another first down for the Miners at the Napa 25-yard line. Double wing, one on the left starts in motion.
That's a false start.
Now it cost them 5 yards. So to take the ball back to the 30-yard line. They need to get down to the 15-yard line for a first down. So it will be still first down, but 15 yards to go now for the Miners. Last week, the Vintage Crushers had 100 yards in penalties, if you remember that game. Quarterback back out to pass. He drops back. He fires. And it is incomplete. Good defending over there that time by PDL. Just timed the hit perfectly to keep the completion from happening.
Yeah, Alex, the PDL, Perez de Leon, usually plays the receiver, turned into a great defender there. That was an excellent play, Ira. You hit it right on the nail there. That was just a beautiful play by PDL.
The ball remains then at the 30-yard line. Clock stopped with 4:40 to go in the first quarter. No score. Grass Valley's Nevada Union High School with the football, with the Michigan Wolverine-style football helmets, a single setback. Quarterback back to pass. Now on the draw, he is hit and he's dropped. Good interior line play that time.
Jacob Richmond, Ira, he's the one who stopped that play right there.
Yep, the nose guard.
I know our Jacob Grant loves Jacob Richmond down there because he's a big boy.
What do you think of that, Jacob?
He got a good hand on him. Yeah. Pulled him down, and then the linebacker came in and finished him off.
That's right.
It was a good play.
Good call there, Jake, because it was a big old paw that just reached out and grabbed him.
Big play right here on third down. They have a trip set right side. Not using the wing in this, and the quarterback is back to pass. He's getting right. He fires, got a man open. He can't get to the ball. He had Hayden Fay open out into that right flat area.
Yeah, Napa's defense was confused, Ira. They didn't know what to do with that trip set. They were shorthanded over there, outmanned, and, boy, that's a good thing that pass was incomplete because he had a lot of yards in front of him.
That is Dalbon's fourth pass. He's only had one completion out of four.
So that will bring up fourth down. They need 18 yards for a first down. It's back at the Napa 32-yard line. Owen Dalbon, the senior quarterback, will bring him up there with the wing to the right. He rolls out to his left. Now he changes direction, goes to his right, fires on the run, and it is incomplete. Just out of the reach of Hayden Fay.
That's where they run the Bucky pass, if you will. It's play action pass off the Buck sweep motion, and they crisscross the tight ends. And good coverage by Napa's defense there.
that the line play for Napa was great. They were putting great pressure on the quarterback, which made him throw the ball early.
Good point. So at the 32-yard line, the Napa offense takes over thanks to a good stand by the defense. No score in our ball game. Inside of 4 minutes to go. We're in the first quarter. Napa had a good drive of their first series, but did not get into the end zone. Two wides to the left, one to the right. And the snap goes directly to Dawson Trent instead of to the quarterback. I guess that was a set play.
Well, I don't know if it was a set play. I was trying to tell if it was a set play or a broken play. I couldn't quite tell, Ira.
I couldn't either. I'm not sure, Cortez, whether he was expecting it or what, but he goes over to the sideline and turns his palms up. We're like, what happened? What just happened there? But anyway, Napa did not gain, and they really did not lose. It's back at about the same place.
It looks like they gained about 1 yard, though, if you're looking at the sideline crew.
Well, maybe lost a foot on the play on that. And the quarterback hands off, and they go with Herter. Herter is hit as he gets back to the line of scrimmage, but Brandon could go no farther. And he picked up, well, maybe a couple yards on that. So it's going to be third down and 8 yards to go. So, Ken, is this a passing scenario?
Well, yeah, you know, come back. You might look for that pop pass again. That was a good play for him in the opening drive. You might see him come the other way to the short side of the field. Some type of rollout.
Cortez gets the snap, looks to the left, looks to the right. He's going to run with it. He's to 35, angles to the 40. He goes to the sideline and steps out of bounds after getting the first down.
And that's a good play on Cortez's part. He saw his receivers covered up and then broke free, iron, knew exactly where that first down marker was.
And did not try to go downfield and maybe miss the first down.
Yep.
The ball is out at the 44-yard line. Still in Napa territory, inside of 2.5 minutes to go. We're in the first quarter of play in this scoreless battle. The Napa Indians trying to sustain another drive as they did in their opening series, but unable to get into the end zone. The quarterback on the handoff, and they go over the left tackle spot across the 45-yard line. And let's see. It's blocked out on that.
I couldn't quite see it, Ira.
Yeah. So what about Jacob? Did you see who carried that? We were blocked out.
I didn't see who carried it either. He picked up a couple yards, and that's about it. I didn't see
it. So it is second down and 7 yards to go as Cortez takes the snap, fakes the handoff, keeps the ball, cuts in at the 50, goes to his left to 45, makes a good move there at the 40, tackled around the ankles and falls forward to about the 39-yard line, tackled by Will Smith, a 6'2". Senior free safety out there that came over to stop that play. Ball's moved back to the 40-yard line.
Yeah, Adrian Garcia up there up front making some key blocks to free up Caden Cortez, who made another good read, Ira, riding that motion back and then pulled the ball away. Good job.
So with a minute and a half to go here in the first quarter, Napa trying to sustain this drive as they send two wideouts to the right side. Tight end on the left side. And the handoff to the tailback, and that is looks like nothing opening for Herter there. As Brandon Herter, as he got the ball, it was double-teamed right away. They came after him.
And then Ethan Garrity, number 74, he just stood him up there, Ira. He's the one who broke that play up.
Yeah, he's the defensive tackle out there, doesn't he? A nice job. We're in the final minute of the first quarter.
Getting a quick update, Ira. 14-0 already up there in Roseville. Wood Creek over Vintage, 14-0.
So it's second down and 10 at the 40-yard line of the Miners. Cortez, a quick pop pass. It's complete to Herter, has a first down. He's the 25, the 20. He's wrapped up at the 15, and he rides out of bounds. What a one-on-one with J.C. Wheeler.
And that pop pass, historically, Ira, has been open against Nevada Union's defense for years and years. That's their weak spot. That's what you got to attack. They ran it just out of a different look that time, ran it out of a trip set with a motion, and it opened right up.
They ran it to the left that time, hitting it over to Brandon Herter. They do not have Herter in that backfield now, and they draw him offside. We'll see if Napa is guilty of...
No, that's on the minors.
Yeah,
they jump.
Just encroachment.
And that's a great job. See, this time now, I remember 2 weeks ago where Napa couldn't hold their water like that. Now, the self-discipline here, they're doing a great job. Now it's first and five.
So you're down in that red zone again. You're at the 7-yard line, a half a minute to go in the first quarter in a scoreless game, and you want to get into the end zone this time. Cortese, power eye to the right side, and they go to the left side, and they're going to be stopped shy of the 5-yard line as Carlos Mendez was hit there. Mendez made his debut last week. He missed the first two games of the season. He did get into last week's game. No gain on the play. They put it right back at the 7.
Nevada Union's backers do a good job. Cameron DeLago that time, I was the one who said, welcome to football here, Mendez.
And that's the end of the first quarter here at Memorial Stadium in Napa, California. And our score is Napa High 0, Nevada Union 0. Well, what a defensive battle there in that first quarter.
Very defensive, very fast-paced offense by both teams, too, Ira. They're running a lot of plays just on both teams here. Both teams couldn't capitalize. You know, the big turnover there by Napa High, but Nevada Union couldn't capitalize. We've seen Napa's defense play tough all year long.
But the offense are in that red zone again. And
here we go. They seem to march from the 30 or 20 to 20, you know, all season long.
They get inside that 10, and they can't do it.
Yep.
Kerry Rule, how are things going over there in the stat department?
Well, it looks like there's not much passing going on in this game. It's almost all rushing. Cortez has rushed for about 7 for 43, so he's doing good in the rushing.
And that's just great ball handling by Cortez. Kerry, he rides that back or the motion back and then keeps the ball himself, and that's where he's able to pick up those 43 yards. Great job, Caden Cortez.
He's right there at the 7-yard line as we start the second quarter. It's... second down, 7 yards to go, full house backfield, and Cortez takes the snap and hands it off to Herter. Herter got it inside the 5-yard line, but only about a yard in there. Picked up about 3 very tough yards. It'll be third down and goal to go from the 4-yard line.
I think they can still get a first down, Ira, if they get it. Jake, I don't know if you can see that across the field. Can they get a first down without scoring?
Oh, you're right.
Get to the 3-yard line.
So they need a good yard and a half here to pick up a new set of downs.
Well, they got 2 downs to do it. This is third down. And they have Herter in that backfield.
Look for PDL on a post.
And Herter draws them to the right, and then the quarterback, Cortez, keeps the ball, and he wiggles in. He followed his center and his left tackle. And got right in there.
Just a great job. He faked the Herter, and then it was it's called a quarterback keep. It's off the option look, and he just rides and
I'll tell you, those linebackers went after Herter that fake.
Yep, they did.
And that opened it up then for Cortez to get into the end zone, and Napa has scored first, just underway here in the second quarter. And it is Jose Acosta to try the extra point for Napa High. As they get set, the snap and placement and the kick on the way, and it is good as Jose Acosta gives Napa the extra point, and there's timeout now just underway in the second quarter, and it's Napa High 7, Nevada Union 0. Well, Tyler Nielsen drops back deep along with Dawson Fay. As Napa has taken the lead here early in the second quarter. Napa getting set to kick off. And the guy that made that extra point, Jose Acosta, is also going to be the guy to kick off for Napa High. As it's Fay on the right, Nielsen on the left, and it's coming over to Fay at the 10. He takes it. gets a block here at the 20, 25, still going at the 30, 35, 40. He's being pursued at midfield, down the sideline to 40, the 30, the 20, the 10, 5, and end zone. That was a 90-yard return.
No flags, Ira, no flags.
Wow. So Dawson Fay wasted no time in getting down there. You know, what's interesting is last week he had a 94-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. This was only 90 yards tonight. 2 weeks in a row he's run back long yardage touchdowns off of the kickoff. He's only a junior, too.
And Ira, Napa, this is their weak spot, is their special teams. This is the second time they've had one run back on a kickoff on them. And,
well, they
and,
opened the season
with
that way.
Right, the first very play, that's
very
right.
Very first play of
and,
the
you
season.
You know, they had them wrapped up. They had Dawson Fay wrapped up there just a little bit. But they
here's the water pick play. They line up. They're job. Using the water pick against Napa. And then there is a whistle. And someone has called a timeout, and we'll tell you which it is going to be. Well, there, Napa has taken a timeout. They have utilized the water pick, and now they have to defend the water pick.
Yeah, and why do they have to call a timeout? I think they didn't have enough personnel in the field.
Boy, that is such an important aspect of...
And that's, again, that's special teams, Ira. That's special teams of knowing when you're going in. If you're on the kickoff team, kickoff return, punt team, punt return, extra point defense, you must be ready at all times.
So if the water pick is successful for the Miners, they would take the lead. If the defense for Napa is successful in preventing the two-point conversion, then Napa retains a 7-6 lead. So the guy that's going to be snapping the ball is Justin Houlihan. He leads the defense. He's also their long snapper, and he's going to be the one snapping the ball to quarterback Owen Dalbon. And just to the right of Owen Dalbon there is the guy that scored that long touchdown, Dawson Fay. And here we go. There's the snap. Goes to the left side. And Napa gets in there and makes the tackle right away. And what
well, Michael Blattis on that tackle.
Wow. They hiked it or snapped it off to the left side. And the defense stiffened up and stopped the two-point conversion from being successful. So Napa dodges a little bullet there, although they gave up that long 90-yard kickoff return.
Well, you know, again, this Chuy Martinez is just going to, his hair will turn gray when he watches film on this. They have to stay in their lanes and defense this kickoff return. It's just been a sore spot with the Napa High Indians. They have to do a much better job at defending that.
Coming into this game, the quarterback for this Miner team, Owen Dalbon, had passed for 276 yards, but last week in passing, he only got 44 yards in that entire game. So we look at Napa to receive the kick now, heading from the south end zone towards the north, from our right to our left. And all set to kick off is Owen Dalbon. The whistle blows, and here comes his approach to the football. His right-footed kick soars off to the side of the foot and goes out of bounds, and that will be somewhat of a break as far as Napa's field position. The ball went out of bounds around the 20-yard line, but it needs to stay in play or go out of the end zone. And it's going to be at the 35-yard line where Napa will have possession. Now, Napa had Isaiah Newton, the sophomore, out there for a moment. He goes back to the sideline now as the quarterback, Cortez, gets the signal of what to call now and sends a wide out each side. And two in the backfield. The handoff as they come to the left. A good block and a good cut there by Blattis. And then he is down. Dropped the ball. And let's see if they say he was down. Now the officials are conferring.
No, that ball was not dropped. Either. The ground cannot cause a fumble. two officials are talking it over. One saying the ground caused it, the other one saying no.
The referee is calling the officials over. Lance Rogers is the referee for the game. Frank Griffin and Eric Cordova and Tim Landris and Greg Staley are the other officials out there assigned by the Sac Joaquin section for tonight's game. One official is saying that the ground caused the fumble. The other official said that it was...
That's a good call. Second down.
Yep. Ruling that he was down.
Blattis was clearly down when the ball came out of his pocket there.
Michael Blattis got the ball to the 40-yard line, a pickup of 5 yards on the play. Napa leading 7-6 here early in the second quarter. The ball's at the left side hash marks, heading toward that north end zone. Single back there with the quarterback as he takes the snap, nearly fumbling. He sees an opening, the 40. He starts to the right, the 45, and he's hit, and he struggles to the 49-yard line. Picks up 9 yards on the play and a first down for Napa.
Well, you know, that snap was off to the left. Yeah. I think he turned a bad snap into a broken play.
He muffed it for a little bit.
Made a good play out of it.
Had to reel it in, and that threw off his timing a bit because he saw an opening and that little bit of juggling enough to seal part of that opening.
Yep.
But he still tried to go through it and picked up some good yardage. Roger Fuentes out very wide to the right side. Kind of a wing on the left side. And the whistle blows just before the snap. And Sam Batty was... check that. Michael Blattis.
They have illegal motion, Ira, against Napa. Back him up 5 yards.
So that goes back to the 44-yard line. 10 minutes to go here in the first half. 7-6 is the score. Napa has the lead. Nevada Union on the defense as Napa still in their own territory. On first down and 15 yards to go, we'll have double wides out to the left side, including the sophomore, Isaiah Newton. And Cortez takes the snap and hands off, and nothing opened up that time. They had Dawson Trent just covered... in every respect. He couldn't go to his right. He couldn't go to his left. Couldn't go straight forward.
Right.
And rather than taking a loss by going backward and still having that defense pursue him, he stopped there at the 41-yard line.
Justin Houlihan and Duke Morales, the two backers for Nevada Union, were in there. He was in the backfield. They were both in the backfield. I think they knew the play better than Napa High did that time.
3-yard loss on the play. Here we use a trip set right. Or left, and a single wide to the right, and a single setback, and he goes in motion. Empty backfield. Pitch goes into the left side to Blattis. Blattis is hit and dropped as he crosses the 45-yard line, but not enough for they have to go into minor territory to the 42-yard line for a first down, and they still have the ball in their own territory at the 47-yard line.
Good pickup, Ira. Good 6-7-yard pickup there. Makes it a 3rd and 12 instead of a 3rd and 18. But, that this is a doable. This is reachable. They'll get this 3rd and 12.
Still in their own territory. Newton to the right side. PDL out to the left. Quarterback back to pass. Getting Rice. Fires in the middle. And no gain. The pass was completed to Isaiah Newton, but he got back to the line of scrimmage, and that was it. Just took too long to develop.
Well, they're trying to run that little slip screen back to PDL coming over across the center, but Ethan Garrity, the defensive tackle for the Miners, saw that coming the whole way. He was in PDL's hip pocket. There was just nowhere to go with it.
Will Smith dropping back inside of his 25-yard line. It'll be Caden Cortez getting the punt away. Soars down. Smith will take it at the 18-yard line. Goes to his left, across the 25. He sidesteps one would-be tackler and hit by two others then as he gets stopped shy of the 30-yard line. 7.5 minutes to go. We're in the second quarter. Napa holding on to a 7-6 lead over Nevada Union. Nevada Union, after they scored the touchdown, try the water pick play. And the Napa Indian defense on the field now as they use that three-man front with about five in the next and then the three backs, and they hand off as the Miners try it over the right tackle guard slot and get very little there by Dawson Fay.
Big Jacob Richmond there just stuffing that play there, trying to run that fullback trap off the buck sweep look.
Yeah, they're going to run away from him.
Jacob Richmond, he's a horse down there. He really is. He's a big body. He's right on the nose.
He has been a leader on that defense, as Jacob Granite attests to. It's going to be second down and 11 to go. 7 minutes to go in the first half. Quarterback fakes, rolls out, fires on the run. The pass is caught for a first down, and he gets by one. And then he is hit by several others as Hayden Fay held onto the ball. And Isaiah Newton just tried to spin him around but let him slip away.
And that's where you see, you pointed out Isaiah Newton being a sophomore, Ira, and the inexperience and the youngness of him. He had him there 5 yards earlier and let him go. So Napa High must do a better job at coverage and must do a better job at tackling at first contact.
So the ball is in Napa territory now at the 43-yard line at the right side hash marks. They're heading to the south end zone, and they have a wing to the right. And they run it just off tackle off the left side, and the ball was dropped, but that may have been another situation where the ground calls the fumble. It had been carried by Tyler Nielsen into the line.
Dawson Trent there on the stop,
giving him 1 yard pickup on the play.
That time they were, the Miners, Nevada Union, was running an underneath counter off that buck sweep look.
Yeah, the officials were signaling for the clock to start. They had to blow the whistle about three times to get that in motion. The quarterback is Owen Dalbon, and he sends out to the left side Hayden Fay, who is a senior, and Hayden's brother is Dawson. And they go off of right tackle and tried a little slant there, but could not find an opening. And that was Dawson Fay on the carry.
Yeah, PDL coming up from his corner spot, reading that, making the stop. He read that quickly and just reacted quickly and made a nice tackle back there. Only a gain of two.
I would say that the Miners are in four-down territory.
I wouldn't be surprised here, Ira.
They're at the Napa 39-yard line with 5.5 minutes to go in the first half. Napa leading 7-6. Wing to the right. Slot to the left. Quarterback back to pass. Hands off. There's a little bit of an opening there. They get to the 35 and try to stretch, as there was a good tackle over there by Brandon Herder.
You know, Nevada Union is going to look at this play call because that was a messed up play. They're trying to run a reverse, which they ended up doing, but there was a delay, a little mix-up on the mesh, and yet they still almost picked up the first down.
Israel Gonzalez was the ball carrier, and he got it to the 34-yard line.
And you're right, Ira. It's fourth and a half a yard, or maybe a yard, and they are going for it.
Yeah, not much question as far as because of the yardage they picked up on the last play. They just need short yardage here on this. So they have in the backfield now, I will tell you here in just a moment, Houlihan. And they give to Houlihan. Oh, he is met and stopped.
Great play by Napa High.
That was the coach's son, and when they need short yardage, they usually go to Justin Houlihan, and they did on that one, and he was stopped shy of the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, Cameron Ross was in there, Isaac Castrillo, but Cameron Ross made the first initial contact coming up that B-gap. What a great job, Napa High defense. And once again, Ira, Napa's defense is just leading their team overall throughout this season.
I think that's the first time, too, in the game that Houlihan has carried the ball, but they use him for special short yardage situations. Good athlete. So at the 35, Napa offense takes over. Cortese is going to be under center. He has two setbacks behind him, and he puts the wing on the right side in motion, back to pass, looking, throwing long downfield, and it is incomplete, intended for PDL.
Yeah, they're trying to play action off that, run that, you know, fake to the motion back, and then nice ball handling by the quarterback there. And just overthrew PDL just by a few yards. He was open.
Yeah. For those of you joining us perhaps for the first time, when we say PDL, that is Alex Perez de Leon. He's quite the athlete. And a lot of his teammates call him PDL. And we get it out a lot quicker than going Perez de Leon. So here we go. He is out wide to the right side now on a trip set. And there's a pitch to the right side. It's batted down.
Boy, and Houlihan almost picked that
off.
Yeah,
he grabbed it, but was down.
Caden Cortez now, they went back to that pop pass. They faked the back and then tried to drip back. But he needs to look up, make sure those lanes are clear before he delivers that ball.
Third down and 10 yards to go. Napa needs to get to its own 45-yard line. So this is a position play coming up for Napa as the ball is at their own 35-yard line with 4:16 to go here in the first half. Single setback. There is Cortez rolls out to his left. He looks, sets, fires, and it's incomplete. Herter was the intended receiver. Herter had gone down just enough to pick up a first down, but the pass was just a little bit in front of him.
Just a little high and outside there, yep. That's Kirk Bach. Dawson Trent saving Cortez from getting sacked back there on a key block.
Well, Cortez is going to punt.
That was his third incomplete pass, and then he did have one pass that was successful for 0 yards. So far he's gone 33 yards for 7 attempts.
Okay. He's back to punt now. Gets the punt away. That's a good one. Soaring down and some good height with allows for some good coverage, but it kicks out of bounds. Now, somewhere inside the 25-yard line, looks like around the 21-yard line is where they're going to mark the ball. Well, the Miners have plenty of time. They have 4 minutes here in this first half. They trail by just a point.
You see more and more high school teams, Ira, kicking away from the punt returner.
Yeah, very
kicking
seldom.
At an angle.
Very seldom do you have a punt return. Now, the 90-yard touchdown run was off of a kickoff return and not a punt.
And that's where you want your kicker to be able to kick it in the end zone.
And Dawson Fay had the 94-yard kickoff return. He also had an interception last week, and his brother had an interception as well last week. It was a good time for the Fay family. They run with a single setback, and the pitch goes to the right side. And a good move in there by the defense to stop Israel Gonzalez. He's the one that got those big yardage before. He's brought down for short yardage this time, a couple yards for him.
Kyle Berryhill is the one who came up from a safety spot there, made the tackle. I'll tell you, Napa's defense, I'm so impressed with their defense. They've kept Napa in their games week after week after week.
Absolutely. Hayden Fay out to the left side, wing to the right side. Quarterback back to pass, getting right. And he falls down at the 10-yard line. He made such a quick cut to reverse his field that he slipped and went down.
I think it would have had him for a sack anyway. They had two guys coming at him.
Yep. Napa's defense. That's why he tried to get a quick escape back there.
Yep.
Too quick. So that's going to bring up third down and long yardage. They have to get out to the 31-yard line for a first down. They have the ball back inside the 10-yard line. So call it the 10-yard line. They need 21 yards for a first down. Quarterback hands off as they try over right side. They got short yardage. They needed the long yardage, and it was Dawson Fay stopped at about the 16-yard line.
Coach, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I just said Napa should come out of this and pretty good.
Coach Houlihan decided just to go for a nice safe run, not try to pass and get a drop here or an interception and give him a little room to punt. Each team relying on their defense here to get the ball back.
Herter drops back to midfield. There's the punt. Herter's going to stay away from it. It bounds and goes out of bounds in Minor territory. Around the 48-yard line, he's spotting it at about the 49-yard line, giving him an extra yard on that punt. But it is going to be right at the 49-yard line of the Miners, where Napa will have the football. 2 minutes and 13 seconds to go until half. Napa is leading 7-6. And Napa will have PDL going out wide right side. To the left is Fuentes. Cortez keeps the ball on the option. And now he fakes the pitch and keeps it anyway and gets back to the line of scrimmage, maybe. He stopped right about midfield. Did not quite get back to the 49.
And that's just, you know, it's a good job by Cortez. Isaiah Newton, the young fresh or sophomore, was the pitch man but was not in pitch relationship.
No, it's a good thing he did not pitch there. Well, that was very vulnerable.
Newton wasn't there. That's the problem. Isaiah Newton wasn't in what they call pitch relationship. He needed to be out there, and he wasn't. So a lot of work to do with the young sophomore, obviously. As you said, Ira, he's a sophomore. He's young. He's going through a lot of growing pains.
And he's got a bad right hand, too. He had that injured.
And he's having a hard time lining up right now.
Yeah. He is, by the way, a southpaw. So Cortez, as he takes the snap, rolls out. He's looking to pass, but he's being pursued. He sets, he fires, and it's incomplete, like he was throwing for PDL's dad.
Yeah, I think he was just throwing it away. Didn't want to take a sack. Good job by Caden Cortez just to get rid of it. You know, yeah. Caden Cortez, his uncle is Johnny Cortez, who played for Vintage back in 2003 against Nevada Union and had a touchdown reception against the Miners here at Memorial Stadium.
So just over a minute, well, a minute 17 to go here in the first half. Napa leading the Nevada Union 7-6, and the ball is right at midfield, where it's third down and 11 yards to go for the Napa Indians. As the quarterback, Caden Cortez, he's 5'11", 165-pound senior, is going to take a timeout. They want to talk this over. So we can talk over a bit about the coaches. I'd like to talk a bit about who helps on defense, and a little bit about the head coach, Chuy Martinez. He played quarterback, and he coached quarterbacks at the varsity level for just a year, and then 8 years he was offensive coordinator for the JVs, and then last year was the head JV coach. Robbie Steen works for the on the defense. Troy Mott helping out on the defense. Juan Martinez works with the defensive line, and Jeremy Wooten works with the linebackers.
Good staff right there, Ira, especially on the defensive side.
Yeah, and I don't know how Bumper LaRue does it, but he is listed as head coach for both the JVs and freshmen. Freshmen won their game tonight, 33-13. But the JVs lost to Antelope 41-0. Here we go. As Cortez is set, gets the snap, fakes to the first one, gives the second one. Herter off a right tackle, hit at the 48 and driven down there. That'll bring up fourth down for Napa. A couple yard pickup by Herter.
Let's see if Napa's just going to let the clock run down and maybe take a 5 yard penalty before they punt it. Burn time off instead of giving it back to the Miners. I'm surprised Nevada Union didn't call a timeout.
They had three remaining, and they have not taken the timeout. Down to 45 seconds. Nevada Union has taken a timeout. They let a lot of time elapse that clock.
When that play was dead on third down is when they should have called the timeout.
So absolutely.
A good 15, 20 seconds has run off the clock before they burned a timeout.
Yeah, well, we were talking about some of the coaches, particularly those on defense for Napa High, but the assistant coaches, I'm counting them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 assistant coaches to go along with head coach Dennis Houlihan. There are Brad Sparks, Brad Dalbon, the father of a couple of the Dalbons that are playing in the game, Chad Mason, Bernie Flores, Warren Egger, John Keith, Tyler Houlihan, and another Houlihan getting in that, John Peek, and Jaime Wise, who is, I guess, he's listed as coach trainer. So he's out there working to get these guys in good condition. So that brings up fourth down, and Cortese ready to punt, gets the snap, gets the punt away, bounds inside the 15. It'll kick into the end zones. It'll come out to the 20-yard line.
Well, Ira Napa's defense is going to be asked to make another stop. Only 37 seconds left, but again, the Indians' defense has been playing strong all night long.
Well, you don't have to necessarily watch out for that long pass, but they can run up the middle, and if they break loose, they've got some speed.
Yeah, they do have some speed, and they've showed it tonight.
Dawson Faye, but if you give him a little daylight, he can really chalk up the yardage.
Yeah, and Faye proved it on that kickoff return.
Yep. Well, it's hard to get one of those in a season, let alone on consecutive weeks having kickoff returns.
Right.
So that's 184 yards in two plays in the last 2 weeks off of those kickoff returns. Back to pass. No, he hands off to the second man coming around, and that is Nielsen. Nielsen tries to go to the outside, does not get out. The clock keeps moving inside of 30 seconds to go, and the Miners back inside of their own 20-yard line.
Yeah, Michael Blattis came up and made a nice stop on that. That's that little reverse they like to run. It takes a long time to develop, and they were just hoping that Napa would be caught napping and Napa's defense again.
Well, they did not take a timeout again. They may not even get – I don't think they're going to even try to get off another play, as that will end the first half. So here at Memorial Stadium, it is halftime. We'll be back, and Kerry Rule will tell us about the bit of statistic, not much in the scoring column, but we'll find out what she has for us as we're at the halftime score of Napa High 7, Nevada Union of Grass Valley 6. Well, we're at Memorial Stadium in Napa, California at halftime, 7-6, Napa leading Nevada Union. And making her debut with us is Kerry Rule, helping us with statistics now in place of Dino Alessio. So, Kerry, we're going to turn the microphone over to you.
Thank you, Ira. It's definitely a rushing game today. The passing has been a little bit weak, but that could be that the defense on both teams are doing a great job at keeping the quarterbacks at bay. Cortez has passed for 8. He's made 3 completions for 33 yards, where Dalbon for Nevada has passed for 6 times, only 2 completions, but for 47 yards. So he's had a couple of longer passes than Cortez. But Cortez is doing a really good job in the rushing department. He's rushed 10 times for 56 yards. So far it's a rushing game, Ira.
What about the scoring summary?
Well, Napa came in on the second quarter and immediately got a point. A touchdown, got an extra point. They did a punt return, and Nevada came back a 90-yard punt return, and Dawson Faye got a touchdown. They were not able to make the extra points, so the score now is 7-6.
Yeah, that actually was a kickoff return that was after the thing. So we were commenting about how they kick away from those punt returners. So, Kent Fry, anything coming in on the Vintage scoreboard?
Well, Vintage is having a tough time up there at Roseville. Right now it's halftime up there with a 21-0 Wood Creek lead at halftime. So,
yeah.
Vintage has not shut down the Wood Creek offense, obviously, and for whatever the reason, I'm not too sure, not being there, obviously, the Vintage offense has not got a consistent drive to get points on the board.
Wood Creek is in this same league with Nevada Union, that Sierra Foothill League, and Wood Creek went into that game against the Vintage Crushers tonight at 1 win and 2 losses. Well, we want to mention a little bit about our statistician tonight, as Kerry Rule came to California from Michigan and started working at the radio station, but had other ideas as far as something that would be kind of her own doing, and that's where she developed Napa Valley Life, although it wasn't called that right at first.
When I started the magazine, I had 2 small kids, and I wanted to know about things you can do with your family and kind of really support families with school-age kids, so I started the magazine with my former business partner, Jim Brum, called Napa Valley Family. But after 2 years, I realized that that was really limiting. So in 2000, we changed the name to Napa Valley Life. And I decided to do something positive, even though all my critics said that positive doesn't sell. But come up this November, it'll be our 20th year in business. And even though I formerly, back in the 1980s, wanted to be a sportscaster, but I took the news route, and then when I came out here to California, I was working with the radio station. My former boss, the late George Carl, encouraged me to start the magazine. So with no money, no office, and no equipment, I'm proving that anything can happen here in the Napa Valley.
Well, something that happened over at Nevada Union I want to share with you. There's a guy wearing number 40 for the minors out here. Garrett Graves is his name. He is a senior this year. But before his junior year, and keep in mind, he'd been playing junior minor football since the age of 7. They do start him young there.
Yes, they do, Ira, and they run the same offense that the high school does. And So when they do reach that high school level, they know it inside and out.
He played freshman ball, and as a sophomore, was on the JV team. But then he was having a physical problem. It was a stroke. And what he was worried about was, would he ever play football again? Would he be able to go back to school again? Now, in addition to football, he was a wrestler. He was on the track team, a very active athlete. And he tried to figure out what to do. But the team let him be on the sideline as a member of the team last year as a junior, even though they didn't know exactly what caused the stroke. And then finally the doctors discovered what it was, an abnormal connection between arteries and veins that go in the lungs area that caused blood clots. And so they figured that out, and he took what was necessary for a path of recovery. He had surgery. He actually was cleared to play football, but there was a stipulation. Either his mother or father would have to be at all practices and all games and would be solely responsible for any medical response. And he said, you know, that really put things in perspective for me. But what a sight to see Graves out there getting a starting spot in the Nevada Union secondary, where he has earned the respect not only of his head coach, Dennis Houlihan, but for all minor fans.
I tell you, Ira, that's a great story. And the what I come away with it are two things. Is number one, the courage, the mental courage that this student-athlete has to face and come back out and face a competition on the field, knowing that this possibly could happen again. But that's the mental courage that you have to draw upon yourself. And not everybody has that inside of them to do that, Ira. So hats off to him, Mr. Grace, for doing it. And then his parents. His parents to be at practice at all the games and to honor the desire and the wishes of their son. And, you know, as all of us are parents, that's that would be a tough one to decide on. So, boy, Garrett Graves, hats off to you and to Mr. and Mrs. Graves, the parents, and to the whole Nevada Union program. That's a great story.
Well, he wanted to do it. He said he was giving it everything he's got. And, well, we've seen he's a talented kid, and he's playing like he hasn't missed a beat out there tonight. And last week he was one of the leading tacklers for his team, even though they lost the game 23-22. They had a lead, but apparently the defense played fine, played well, but got tired. Sound familiar?
It does sound familiar, doesn't it? Yeah, just wearing out by the end of the game. That's not because they're out there on the field too much.
They were playing the Fighting Zebras. Don't you like that nickname? That is the Lincoln mascot, the Fighting Zebras.
Fighting Zebras. Wow, that's almost as good as the Anteaters.
Yeah. Well, the Miners last week had a season low, 141 yards from scrimmage. And of that, 66 yards through the air and 75 on the ground. And Hayden Fay had a couple catches in that game. His younger brother, Dawson Fayu returned that kick for a touchdown at 34 yards last week. But next year, they will not be in that Sierra Foothill League. They will be in what's called the Foothill Valley League, and none of those other teams that are in the league with them this year will be in that. Let's see, there are 2, 4, 6, 7 teams in the league, so none of them will be in that same league. On that. So it's going to be an interesting league. Do we have a fan here from Nevada Union? Do you want to share something with our fan, San Francisco?
Simon Fraser University, my friend.
Okay, of course.
Olivia's grandpa.
Oh, okay.
Everybody knows it. They don't know me by Barry Urbach anymore. It's Olivia's grandpa.
Okay. Well, anyway, what are you thinking of the game?
Well, there's two really big plays, right?
Yeah.
Other than that, it's been pretty quiet.
A lot of defense going on there tonight. But thank you for bringing it up. We have here with us tonight KNCO out of Grass Valley. And you guys have been doing minor football for a long time.
We started, Fred Anderson started it back in 1983, and then he carried it through until 99. Fred got sick and passed away, and then I came in and, the 99 season. I've been doing it ever since.
Yeah.
And Napa was always fun to come to, and the stadium now, this field is absolutely gorgeous, probably the nicest high school stadium in Northern California.
What do you think of that new league, the Foothill League you're going into?
It's going to be an interesting league. Nevada Union D1 for so many years. School enrollment's way down. It's hard to feel. We didn't even field a JV team this year because of the enrollment. It'll be a competitive for us rather than playing against Folsom and Del Oro and Granite Bay and Rockland and teams that really are D1 teams.
You know, Ira, as a former coach, it was fun to go to Grass Valley as well, and with Coach Franco and the Vintage Crushers. And first year 2000, we go up and meet him in the playoffs. Where's Grass Valley? And we get clobbered 84-21. But we were so impressed with the facilities, with Coach Humpers, his staff, the fans, the Minor Burgers, you know. And we actually made a contract right then and there that night. We want to play home and home and home and home and so forth. It took us 3 years, Ira, but we were able to go up there with Tim Mattson and finally beat the Miners on their home field 30-12. But that it took, I think that was 2005, I believe, is when that was. It took a while to reach that point.
Yeah, but we had some great games.
What a great game with Vintage and Nevada Union.
Yeah.
That was so much fun as coaches, and the kids enjoyed it. And, you know, the freshmen would go up, the JVs would go up, the varsity would go up. Great trips.
Yeah, and we always like to come down to Napa and play on that natural grass field that you used to have here.
That's right.
It was just manicured so well. But, it's nice to see Napa and Nevada Union playing football again.
It sure is. It's wonderful. It brings back great memories.
Well, have success the balance of the season. I know that league is so tough that you're in now.
Well, I don't think we've won a league game in 5 years. If we get wins, it's in preseason against other schools. It's just way over our head up in Nevada Union. So it'll be a good change for the Miners.
Always good to see you guys.
Nice seeing you, Ira.
Okay, well, it's great to watch these spirit leaders, too. They are really talented, and I know, Kent, that you can appreciate the talent. They are national champions.
Absolutely, Ira. And, you know, between the Napa High Band, the spirit leaders, what a wonderful organization they've done over at Napa High. And, of course, the Vintage High Band always comes out to the games, and the cheerleaders as well. But they're fun to watch.
And they've completed a very nice showing, and so did the Nevada Union that brought their cheerleaders here tonight. Napa, of course, calls them spirit leaders. And here come the Indian football players back onto the field, and the bands forming an aisle way for the team to come onto the field, leading it 7-6 here at halftime. We'll be back with that second half kickoff in just a moment here as we are at Memorial Stadium in Napa. Well, when we have a chance, we'll check back with Charles in a minute or so to see if we can get a score on that American Canyon game. American Canyon going against there. Wait, we've got one coming in here.
Ira coming in right now at halftime. It is, I believe it's 28-22. Charles may have to correct me. According to my text, American Canyon over Willsey Wood. The JV score was 35-7, American Canyon over Willsey Wood. So we have a barn burner down there at half, 28-22. I believe it's American Canyon.
And we've got one here, too.
7-6. It's a tight defensive battle, not the offensive game we're seeing at American Canyon, but a very tight defensive struggle here.
You know, Napa has a few of their players a little bit banged up. Sean Madigan, who came in a couple weeks ago, and he had missed the first game of the season with an injury, got back out there, and he's got some speed and was one of the outstanding players from last year that was back, but got injured again early in the contest,
and
he's not returned.
And you know who I'm not seeing down there? Maybe Jacob can help me out down there, is big number 33, Solomon Tennant. I don't know, Jake, if he was... I was looking for him, but I might have missed him at the same time.
That's right, on that defensive line.
He usually plays that defensive end.
Well, another one you're not seeing is number 54, and that is Eric Castro. He's got a knee injury. Now, that took him out of the lineup, and that moved Logan Zampa over to the right guard spot. He was the right tackle, and they put Marcus Lex in there at the right tackle spot.
About that American Canyon score, guys, what I have is... 28-22 American Canyon.
Okay, thanks, Charles. Okay.
So American Canyon has the lead over Willsey Wood of Vacaville, and we're just about ready for the second half. Napa's going to be kicking off to the Miners here, and in fact, Nevada Union's already sent their players back to receive. Gonzalez is off to the right. He was not back to receive any in the first half. Dawson Fay is off to his left, and we had Tyler Nielsen back there before, but Nielsen has been replaced by Gonzalez, and getting set to kick off for Napa High is Jose Acosta. We are underway. It's a little fluke-type kick, just tried to kick it over the front line and got it just back past the 40-yard line where it's fielded at the 39-yard line.
And Ira, that was probably a designed pooch kick just to prevent a possible run back.
Yeah, since the previous kick was returned 90 yards for a touchdown. So it's Napa on the defense as we start this third quarter of play. And the Miners have the ball at their own 39-yard line. They come up with a wing to the right and a wide out to the left, and the quarterback hands off. They try to go up the middle, and they fumble the football. Jake, Napa Jake. Recovers, I believe. Coming up with the football is guess who?
Jacob Richmond.
Yeah, and I believe Logan Zampa is the one that caused that fumble. Jake, I couldn't quite see it, but I think it was number 50, Logan Zampa, who met him right at the line of scrimmage. Brought him down and caused a fumble.
And it was, great play by Zampa. It was Jacob Richmond's long wingspan that got him that ball.
So Napa gets a break here, taking over at the Miners' 35-yard line. The offense is on the field now as PDL goes out wide to the right side. Out to the left side is Isaiah Newton, and the quarterback, Cortez, under center, hands it off as Herter breaks to the outside, the 30. On the angle, there's a flag on the play as he gets to the 25, the 20. He's inside the 15-yard line, but it looks like a hole is coming up against Napa.
Yeah, that was a big play. Big play there by Herter. I don't know what this flag is, Ira.
Okay, well, we'll see what is the call for the Indians. It's going to be against them, and that will back them up. Instead of a fine run by Brandon Herter there, it will negate the run. Oh, no, it's a grabbing the face mask call against each team. Grabbing the face mask against the offense, grabbing the face mask against the defense. And so they would be offsetting penalties, so they will replay the play from where it started. So it's going to be first down and 10 yards to go, just as if it never happened. Oh, no, no, it did happen. Because now there is a 10-yard penalty, which would mean that it had to be a hold.
There is another face mask called on Napa.
Oh, another one. Oh, two face masks called against. All right. So there were three face mask calls there, huh?
Well, that hurts, Ira, because you got the ball in the minor 35, and now you're back to the 45.
Shooting yourself after a fine run by Herter, too.
You got to keep this momentum going. You can't have penalties or mistakes.
No, they have trip set left, single setback, and he is going to carry the ball, and that is Dawson Trent to the 41-yard line. Keep in mind, they have to get to the 25-yard line for a first down. We're just underway here in the second half of the ball game. 11 and a half minutes to go in the third quarter.
Justin Houlihan, that middle linebacker, I know he's the coach of some, but he obviously plays a good, strong middle linebacker for Nevada Union. He was in on that tackle.
Yeah, he leads the team in tackles. He is their leading defensive player. Cameron Ross out wide to the right side. Trip set to the left side, putting Herter in motion. There's a whistle. Must have been illegal motion, but we'll wait. A false start, looks like. It's going to go against Napa again. So Napa started to get the break, getting the ball at the 35-yard line, and they're called for a false start there. So that's backing him up five more yards, Ken.
You can't shoot yourselves in the foot like this, guys. It's just unacceptable. Yeah. So
well,
now you're.
Vintage did the same thing last week.
That's right.
Yeah, Vintage had 100 yards in penalties last week. And the Napa Indians getting penalized quite a bit here in this contest. Find the ball now back at the 47-yard line. It was at the 35-yard line. In the gun formation. Quarterback on the option. Keeps the ball. 45. Puts his head down and plows into the 40-yard line. Well, he saw he wasn't going to get much more yardage, so he just tried to get as much as he could. They have to get down to the 25 for a first down, and they're 15 yards shy of that here on third down play.
Why were they... be interesting to see how many yards they pick up on this third down, if they're going to be in four down territory or not.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Kent, looks like I just got informed that Solomon Tenen took today off.
Okay.
So he didn't play at all.
Okay. Wing to the left for Napa. The quarterback started to the right, now rolls out to the left, sets, lobs one down toward the end zone, and it's intercepted and then dropped, and it's going to be ruled incomplete. Well, that was almost an interception, but it would have been the same as a punt because it was back at the 5-yard line.
Right. Now, the ball's on the 40, Ira. Do you do a little pooch kick and pin the Miners down? It looks like that's what Napa's going to do here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why that interception would have been the same thing as a good punt inside.
Absolutely.
If you can get them inside the 10-yard line, that would have been good. We're inside the 10-minute mark here in the second quarter, 7-6. Napa continues to lead Nevada Union. And the quarterback, Caden Cortez, is going to drop back to midfield. And gets, a bad snap. It goes over his head. He goes back, picks it up, and gets the punt away, but it is going to be out of bounds at about the 35-yard line. About the same place that Napa took possession of the ball and did not move it forward.
No, that's just a series they'd like to erase from their playbook.
So
right
many
now.
Mistakes in that series.
Yeah, penalties.
Bad snap there.
Jumping off sides.
Grabbing face masks.
So did not capitalize on the big turnover, Ira.
So right at the 35-yard line where they had given it up, they take over again, the Miners from Nevada Union. Coming up to the line and sending Hayden Fay way out left, wing to the right. Set back, the quarterback under center, rolls out on the option, keeps the ball, fakes the pitch out, and is grabbed by the jersey. and pulled down by Dawson Trent. Nice one-on-one tackle there. But after about an 8 or 9 yard gain, making an 8 yard gain there by the quarterback.
Yeah, Owen Dahlball did a nice job just making a little fake there and a nice run. Napa's defense needs to stiffen up here.
There's a tight formation there as Devon hands off. They get the ball to Fay. Fay is picking up a first down, gets across the 45, and is dropped at the 47 yard line. Dawson Fay.
And Ira, that's just the buck sweep off that wing tee where they fake to the fullback, give to the backside back, coming across. And it's just a power sweep is what it is.
Gonzalez is back into that backfield, halfback over on the left side. And the ball is carried by Fay again. He breaks a tackle inside the 45, the 40, and down to about the 37-yard line where he is finally tripped up. Dawson Fay, good run there.
Yeah, that's off the belly series. Second man through. Fay's tough. He's a tough runner.
He is.
So Nevada Union has the momentum here. Ira, Napa couldn't capitalize. Looks like Nevada Union is going to try to capitalize on
at
this.
At the 36-yard line of Napa, they hand it off to Gonzalez. Gonzalez breaks a tackle, the 30, the 25. Gonzalez breaks another tackle. Then he is hit from behind by Perez de Leon. Boy, that was a good tackle by him, but three pretty poor tackle attempts before that.
That's right. And you can see Nevada Union, they got the energy. They're coming up to the line of scrimmage very quickly. Napa's got hands on hips. They're tired.
That's right, what I was going to say. They appear to have tired out here. They had been doing. There's a draw play, and they break one tackle, and finally takes three players to bring him down. And he is that power runner we talked about, Dawson Fay, getting some tough yards in there.
Yeah, Isaac Castrillo, there's just stopping him, hanging on to him.
Well, back into that backfield is Justin Houlihan. So the last time he carried, they did not pick up any yardage, but he can be a good blocker back there, too. But he is lining up right behind the quarterback, but he's used as a blocker this time. Puts a block in, 10, 5, and into the end zone goes Dawson Fay. Yeah. And that appeared to be just tiredness from Napa, right. But there is a flag out.
Yeah, it's going to be a hold on the receiver out here on this side.
Yeah. So that will negate that fine run.
Right.
And the
Cameron Ross was out there to make the tackle, but his jersey was being pulled and tugged and everything by the blocker out there, and the backside ref was able to see that.
Well, the lead blocker on the play was doing his job as Justin Houlihan was clearing the defenders out of the way for Dawson Fay. But that will cost some yardage back to the 25-yard line. Napa continues to lead 7-6, but it looks very tenuous at this point. As the quarterback fakes to... No, he hands off there to Fay inside the 15, the 10. He gets inside the 5, the 4, the 3, down to the 2. I counted about 4 tacklers that could not bring him down.
Yeah, and just ran the belly series to him, and he just powered his way and then made great moves himself.
Well, and
then broke those tackles you're talking about, Ira. He's just running hard. Nevada Union has Napa on the ropes here.
Down to the 2-yard line. First down and goal to go, thanks to Dawson Fay with that fine run that he had.
23-yard run.
Tough yards, too, and he ran hard.
So they quickly come up to the line. Fay is their single setback, and he will carry, and he slithers, he turns, he corkscrews, and he is stopped just inches shy of that goal line. Wow.
Yeah, they're going to give the ball right back to him, Ira.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He deserves it. He deserves the touchdown.
He was hit at the line, but his moves, he was literally... turning and spinning around there, trying to get in.
You're on the half-yard line. You expect keep, but, you know, give it to the horse that got you there. And
now
there it
Bond
is. There
gives it
is.
To him, and easily he gets in that time. Dawson Fay just walked in without anybody laying a hand on him, and that gives the Miners their first lead in the ball game with 6:41 to go in the third quarter.
And those plays, Ira, are running to Napa's defensive right side or the offensive left side. They're running the belly series to the left side, the offensive left side, and that's where they have found the weakness, and they've exposed the big holes there.
I think
all those big gains were off the left side like that.
But what you alluded to was the tiredness.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see it out there.
You can. Napa,
they're not as crisp.
They're gasping, hands on hips.
Yeah. All right, here they're going to go for a two-point conversion. The quarterback dropped back to pass into the end zone, complete for the conversion as Hayden Lee caught the ball in the end zone on the pass from Owen Dalban, and the two-point conversion is successful. So there's timeout with 6:41 to go in the third quarter. The score now is Nevada Union 14 and Napa 7. You're in tune with KVON 1440, Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country, and streaming on the internet at KVON.com. Along with Kent Fry, this is Ira C. Smith here at Memorial Stadium. Jacob Grant is on the sideline, and Kerry Rule is in the booth keeping the statistics as we move along here in the third quarter. And Nevada Union has moved into the lead, and here is their kickoff, and it's a little pooch kick, and it is fielded by Napa. Holding on to the ball was Carlos Mendez. So after getting his first action last week, he's been in on a couple of the little pooch-type quick kicks tonight.
Yeah, he saw some action there, that's for sure. Quick update, Ira, from Roseville. Vintage is on the board with a touchdown pass from Weber to Geary, a 74-yard touchdown pass, is now 21-7 into the third quarter. Wood Creek over Vintage.
Well, Vintage, improved team from last year, but meeting some really tough competition. You get around that Sacramento area, there are some very outstanding football teams. PDL goes wide right. We have a wing to the left, and the quarterback, Cortez, giving a long count. And handing the ball off to Herter, he's going to be dropped for a loss back at the 45-yard line. They have to get to the 41-yard line in minor territory.
And, Ira, this is the offense that Napa's been trying to find. They're not finding it yet.
No.
Cortez was wanting Herter to go in motion and go in motion, go in motion, and Herter was not even paying attention, and it finally dawned on him, I better go in motion. The play call is coming to me.
Yeah, and you could see the quarterback was even getting frustrated.
So my whole point is that Napa High's offense is still out of sync. They still just haven't found the rhythm, haven't found the continuing momentum to keep a drive going.
Cortez takes the snap, drop back to pass, looks, fires, and is caught by PDL, close to a first down at the 40. If they give him the distance that he should get, it will be a first down, but the officials have yet to spot the football, but looked like it was easily a first down.
Good pass and catch there by Cortez and PDL.
They're quite a catch. It was in traffic.
Yeah, and he ran a little slant pattern. Cortez was very patient, waited him to clear that outside backer, then threw it in between the outside backer and the middle backer and the safety where the hole was. Good route, good pass.
Under center, hand off to Herter. Herter runs into the middle, and the guy that...
Houlihan.
Yeah, that we talk about so often, Justin Houlihan, who leads the defense. He can play fullback. He's a middle linebacker. He does the long snapping. And, oh, yes, he's the coach's son.
But he plays hard. He really does.
He will have a chance to play at the next level.
He's a stud back there. He knows the game, Ira. I think that helps being a coach's son. He understands the middle part of the game. So
he's about 6'1", 230 pounds.
He recognizes formations. He studies the game. He recognizes tendencies.
Second and 10, wing right, slot left. Herter on the fake. Quarterback drops back to pass. He looks. He's got some time. He is setting and firing, and it's incomplete. They just moved him all the way to the sideline. He didn't have an angle that he could throw to.
I think they're saying he was stepped out of bounds here before he threw it. Now it's a third and 15, Ira.
Yeah, it's moved back to the 45-yard line. 4.5 minutes to go in the third quarter, 14-7. Nevada Union has the lead over Napa. Napa with their senior quarterback, Caden Cortese, has gone all the way. As the third down situation now, even though they are in minor territory, they're way back at the 45-yard line. And they use trip set left. Cortese back. Looks. Running out of the pocket, looking for some blocking, throwing on the run, and is caught by PDL at the 25-yard line for a first down. Another outstanding catch by Perez de Leon.
Well, yeah, and a great ball delivery by Cortese, who was scrambling just to get out of trouble. And Perez coming from the left side to the right side, Perez de Leon, PDL, and a nice catch. Ball was thrown high over the hat, went up, made a nice catch. First down, Napa Indians.
From the 24-yard line, heading toward that north end zone, from the right side hash marks, with three in the backfield and the quarterback under center, hands off to Herter. Ooh, he took a heavy hit right there by the coach's son. Houlihan just met him on. So you had number 20 meeting number 20 head-to-head.
And Justin Houlihan won that battle.
Yeah.
Just put him down.
Yeah, no gain on the play. So it'd be second down and 10 yards to go. And there's a timeout by the official for some equipment adjustment or perhaps some type of an injury or something. But they just want to make sure that that's not a concussion there after the hit that Brandon Herter took. But that was a heavy hit, as Kent mentioned.
Yeah, that was Herter shaking up a little bit. Jake will probably get a better idea. I know they don't give out injury reports, but maybe he's dazed or something. I'm not too sure.
Well, the ball is at the 25-yard line. This is not a charged timeout. It's still an official's timeout. That does mean that Herter has to come out of the lineup for at least one play.
They're looking at his left leg right now.
Left leg on Herter. Thanks, Jake.
No, that probably means it's not a concussion. You know, another injury, Isaac Castrillo had that shoulder injury. And Australia also had a shoulder injury as far as some of the mounting injury situations for Napa High. Cortese now is dropping back to pass, getting rushed, gets hit just as he was throwing the ball. I don't know if that was going to be considered an incomplete pass. If it's a fumble, and they say it is a fumble, and recovered by the Miners. Wow, and the Napa quarterback injured on that play.
Yeah, he's down.
Boy, I tell you, he had no protection there. As soon as the ball was snapped, the defenders were swarming on him, and he tried to get a pass away. So on consecutive plays now, Rob Brandon from the Napa Valley Physical Therapy Center has been called on to come out onto the field. And now he's checking about Cortese. But it was a turnover on the play. They said his hand was not going in the forward motion on that. And while he dropped back and put the hand back to pass, did not start forward with it.
Right.
I thought he did, but...
And this is a close call. Obviously, we don't have instant replay to take a look at it, Ira. And from here, it could have gone either way, the play call. But, you know, now they're going to have to call on the sophomore, Isaiah Newton, to pull the trigger back here. Cortese is definitely down. And Rob Brandon, again, Napa Valley Physical Therapy, their staff attending to him. And Ira, as we've talked about, if Rob says he cannot go, he does not go. It doesn't. He overpowers coaches, principal, everybody. Napa Valley Physical Therapy, they have the say over injuries, and they are the ones who will make this call.
Ken, that's really sad to see, because just before this happened, Cortese had broken seven incomplete passes, and he went for two, and he gained 34 yards just in those two passes right before this all happened.
And he's just not getting the protection back there, Kerry, like we usually expect Napa High's front line to do. And I know Napa High's banged up with some injuries. They're moving people around. But he's getting pressure, Ira, all
well,
over the place.
Looks like they've got him up. I'm not sure what his condition is, but he is standing.
Well, perhaps Jacob Grant can tell us a little more. I guess not.
I was just talking to the film guy to see if I could get a closer look at it, but they don't have that ability, so I can't do that.
Yeah.
But they were looking at his legs. They were just making sure he had full range of motion. That's just what I saw from the physical therapy guys that went out there to look at him.
Okay.
So big turnover there, Ira. Napa High turning the ball over back to Nevada Union.
So the Miners, who lead in this contest 14-7 with 3.5 minutes to go in the third quarter, get possession of the football once again at the 33-yard line in their own territory. Napa's had some opportunities getting the ball down deep. They have scored one touchdown, but they've had opportunities on other occasion. But right now, the defense needs to tighten up. It has been a bit lax here the last couple of possessions. There's the handoff as Gonzalez is pulled down from behind. Nice defensive tackle by Dawson Trent there.
He's all over the place, Ira, that number 17. I like Dawson Trent. I've liked him from week one. He's just his nose is in the football. He knows where it's at. He's always around the football.
And number 17 for the Miners comes out wide to the right side. And the handoff, they try to go up the middle. And a good read there by the defense, stopping that play for no gain or very little gain out to the 35-yard line. So that brings up a possession play now for Nevada Union.
Ira, just a quick update. To Vintage making a game of it, 21-14, 5:14 to go in the fourth quarter.
Back to pass, Dalban, he fired incomplete, Gonzalez, the intended receiver, and that'll bring up fourth down. So Napa should anticipate the punt. It's probably not the pooch-type kick that they've seen on the kickoffs because of the position now. The ball is at the 35-yard line in Miner territory. Well, Herter's back there to return this punt. He's taking a beating tonight, but Brandon Herter drops back inside of his 35-yard line.
Yeah, he's a tough kid. He's been hurt every week.
Look at that uneven line that they set up, and they're going to run it with him past, and it's complete for a first down in Napa territory, the 35-yard line, to Justin Houlihan. Houlihan does it all.
Wow, what a gutsy call by the play coach.
That was.
Gutsy call, and it worked. It really worked. They disguised like they're going to fake maybe to the left, come back to the weak side, and hit Houlihan down on a seam.
It
great
wide
pass.
Open there, too.
He was open.
Yeah. And
Gotta like the design of that play, Ira.
I liked it.
Well, look, everything was going to go left, and it came back to the right.
Well, it was an uneven line. We just started to point that out, how it was unbalanced to the left side.
Yep.
And so now the ball is down at the 35-yard line in Napa territory. Out the 35-yard line in one, down the 35-yard line of the other with 2.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. Dalban hands off, first man going through. Dawson Fay, he's upended at the 35. May have fallen forward to give him a half a yard on the play, but it's spotted that back closer to the 35-yard line.
It looks like they're icing Caden's collarbone.
Ooh. Wow. Be interesting to see if in the next offensive series, if he comes back onto the field. Dalban. And fakes the handoff, and on the option, pitches it back, and well covered. Hayden Lee took the pitch out. And Napa came away with the football, and they thought that it had been a fumble.
No, he just stole it from the ball carrier, but he was down. Good job, number 42 there, Castrillo, Isaac Castrillo of Napa. Well,
he's the one that had that shoulder injury that we're talking about, but he's getting out there and making a good effort on that play.
Nevada Union running the reverse option there, but Napa had it spelled out or smelled out perfectly and defensed it both quarterback and pitchman.
So third down. They are in four-down territory, I think, here at the 41-yard line. A minute and a half to go here in the third quarter. 14-7. Nevada Union is leading Napa, and Nevada Union now with a big third-down play. And the quarterback play action, back to pass. His pass is incomplete. Was intended for Gonzalez. pretty well covered down there by Isaac Castillo. Fourth down. And let's see if they're going to punt it or throw it or run with it. Check the options.
Bring out the punt team. This is a good call. You're up by seven. You're at the 40-yard line. Let's just pin them down there within the 10.
Yeah.
Make Napa march 90 yards instead of 60 yards.
Make them be vulnerable there for a turnover, too. Boy, there's that uneven line again. Let's see what they do with it this time. There's the snap. And they're going to do this. No, they get the punt away this time. And it's high. Coming over is Herter. He takes it. Did not call for a fair catch. Gets to the 15, the 20. Starts the angle. Changes direction now. And now changes directions again. Gets across the 25. A late flag comes in as Herter. What a brave young man that guy was. But not going out of bounds, but electing to change direction to see if he could pick up some more yards.
Had Houlihan breathing down his neck. He made the catch and sidestepped Houlihan. First tackle I've seen Houlihan miss. We got a personal foul against Napa here, Ira.
Well, the yardage are mounting up again on the personal fouls. Trying to find the white hat out there to see his call. Yep. Just, it was not grabbing a face mask or something like that. On it was just a personal foul, which would be 15.
Isaiah Newton's in at quarterback.
Yeah, the young sophomore coming in at quarterback, Jake. Thank you.
Okay. So Newton is in there at quarterback for Napa High in place of Caden Cortez, as you heard, working on his shoulder. Keep in mind that he is a left-handed quarterback, and he takes the snap, and he fires it out into the right flat. It is complete at the 10. That PDL goes down the sideline, but must have stepped out of bounds as they're ruling the play dead. But it was awkward because the left-hander moving to his right had to throw across his body.
Yeah, that is it. That you're absolutely right. It was a good throw, a little low, but PDL picked it up. That's that option, Ira. They run the spread option, zone option off that look where he has the option to run or pass, and he made the right call there.
Newton on the keeper looks to cut in, and boy, there's a flag on the play as Newton goes down. No blockers in front of it. He made a good cut and got by the defensive line, but the linebackers were following him all the way and had their sights on him, and it's going to be a penalty against Napa.
Yeah, they're calling a hold.
It'll be a 10-yard penalty. As takes the ball deeper into Napa territory now, getting it down inside the 15-yard line.
That was a holding call on Napa.
So, Ira, we've seen Napa in this second half where they just come out, they gain 10, and then get a penalty, shoot themselves in the foot, lose 10. They just cannot get a sustained drive going.
Inside of a minute to go here in this, the third quarter, 14-7, the score. Napa trailing. Newton, the sophomore, takes the snap and fakes the handoff, keeps the ball. He's out to the 15, and it was a good fake for a moment, but then J.C. Wheeler, who is one of their outstanding, he's second in tackles on the team, second only to Houlihan.
Yeah, 13, number Cameron DeLego, number 13, reached out and grabbed him and kind of hyperextended his elbow. He's holding it out there. He don't want to come out, but they're taking a timeout. He's going to be looked at here on the sideline.
Yeah. Well, that's the end of the quarter. So we're at the end of three periods of play here at Memorial Stadium, and our score, the Nevada Union of Grass Valley Miners 14 and the Napa High Indians 7. Well, Kent, any further updates on those other scores?
Well, Vintage has gotten the ball back with 2 minutes and 45 seconds left. They're down 21-14, so they do have almost 3 minutes to get down there and score and possibly tie that game up there against Wood Creek of Roseville.
And here we've got the fourth quarter getting underway. Napa has second down and a long way to go. They have to get out to the 35-yard line for a first down. They have it at their own 19-yard line. So they need some 16 yards here as they use a spread formation. And the quarterback rolls off to his left. He fires on the run, and it is complete to Cameron Ross, but he could not get too much yardage there. The defenders were all around him and brought him down after gain of about 6 yards on the play.
In the fourth quarter, American Canyon continues to hold on to a 35-29 lead.
We've got a barn burner going down there, Charles. A lot of speed with Wilsey Wood and American Canyon. Great job, American Canyon, staying on top right now.
Yep. At the 26-yard line, Napa looks at third down. This is a possession play because they're way back in their own territory, down by just a touchdown and an extra point. Spread formation, trip set right. Movement is to the right. Quarterback looks. He fires a wobbly pass that's intercepted at midfield to the 45 and then down at the 42-yard line. That interception
Garrett Graves.
Graves, the guy that we talked about yep. that had that stroke.
Great story, Ira. Great story. You mentioned it at halftime, and there he is picking off a pass.
Yeah. Graves is 5'9", 140-pound senior that just loves football.
And Ira, in Isaiah Newton's defense, you know, he's rolling to his right and he has to throw across his body like you were talking about earlier. You know, you might want to start designing some plays where he's rolling to his left as a left-handed quarterback.
Well, Justin Houlihan is back in that backfield now. So let's see if he's a good blocker, and he's going out to the right side, and they run the ball to the right side with Dawson Fay getting across the 40-yard line to about the 38-yard line.
Yeah, Nevada Union is going to pound the ball right in between the tackles yeah. here. They're going to run the belly series and the fullback trap.
Now, Houlihan, he does a great job of blocking, too. If you use him as a lead blocker, you're going to take somebody out of there, unless it happens to be Jacob Richmond. The quarterback hands off to Gonzalez. He's tripped up there with no gain on the play at the 38-yard line. That's third down coming up now and about 6 yards to go for a first down, a long six.
Yeah, Kyle Berryhill made that play, Ira. He came up from his safety spot and made the tackle for no gain.
Third down now for Owen Dalbon, the senior quarterback. Brings him up. He's under center. He drops back, fakes, rolls back to pass. Now he's going to run with the ball. The 35, the 30-yard line, has a first down, tucks the ball in, dives forward as he is being tackled over there by Isaac Castrillo.
And basically they just ran a naked bootleg off that Bucks Week action. Everything flowing to the right, and he bootlegged back out to left, and there was no one out there defending that for Napa. Easy pickings for Nevada Union.
At the 26-yard line. Again, Dalbon is getting under center. Their center is Dominic Garrity. He's a 6-foot, 180-pound senior, so not too big. Their left tackle has been Keith Ward. Their left guard, Ethan Garrity. Right tackle has been Cole Johnson. And the right guard has been Matthew Dalbon, the brother of the quarterback. Matthew is only a sophomore, too. He's their right guard. And they hand the ball off to Dawson Fay, and he's hitting the backfield and does not get any yardage on that play.
Yeah, Cameron Ross and Berryhill were there to make the stop. Ira, that was a first and five as there was a 5-yard penalty of offsides against Napa. They actually took a loss there. It's going to make it second and six.
Yeah, make it second and seven even, or yep. almost eight.
Credit Cameron Ross and Berryhill for that loss.
Owen Dalbon, who is one of the captains of the team, one of their captains, Leiterher.
It's a fumble.
And there's a scramble there at the around the 25-yard line. It was recovered by the quarterback, yeah. Owen Dalbon.
I think Dalbon just pulled away too quick there and just muffed the snap.
So it's third down and 10 to go after first and five. It's almost a third and 11. It's yardage markers, yardage to go, just inside the yardage that shows third down. But they have Justin Houlihan in that backfield once again. And he is back there as a setback. And there is the play action. Quarterback back to pass. He's got all kind of time. Now he starts to run with it. By one, by another, and another! And then he dives out of bounds. I think he got the first down as Napa just missed tackle after tackle.
Yeah, great job by DeBon, though, on the scramble. They're trying to set up a screen. They ran the buck action play action pass coming back to the left. They're trying to set up a screen to right. That was covered well by Napa's defense, but then he scrambled. DeBon, being he, just made something, a great gain out of nothing for a first down, Ira. He's fun to watch.
You know, Napa scored four touchdowns last week. Their offense has sputtered so far tonight. From the 16-yard line, DeBon hands it over to Fay, and Fay is hit for no gain at the plate. That was Dawson Fay.
Yeah, there's Barry Hill again coming up from that safety spot. Number 29, Kyle Berryhill is having a great second half here on the defensive side.
Second down at the 16-yard line. Inside of 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, 14-7. Nevada Union in the lead. DeBon, the quarterback, gives to the second man coming through, but he can't get through there as Dawson Fay was dropped at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, Adrian Garcia that time, double nickel, 55. Holding his ground.
That Dawson Fay, he's really been a workhorse, hasn't he?
He's a tough nut. He really is.
Yeah. Then, you know, he's the fifth leading tackler on the team, too, besides being such a fine ball carrier on the offense. Just over 7 minutes to go here in the fourth quarter. Third down and 10 yards to go. DeBon looks, a quick pop pass is deflected. Wow, they had a little pop pass with coming over the middle, Justin Houlihan.
And he was open, Ira, but Dawson Trick got his big hands up there, knocked it away. That would have been 6 points right there.
Boy, that was good. This is fourth down at the 16-yard line. Let's see if they're going to try a field goal. So this is going to be a 33-yard field goal attempt from the left side hash marks. Very little breeze, hardly any breeze out there.
DeBon, the quarterback, doing the kicking.
A 33-yard field goal attempt as the ball is snapped, placed down, and the kick is on the way. He's got the distance, but it's off to the left. Just a little bit to the left. He had the distance, but couldn't split the uprights.
That's a big break for Napa, Ira. It keeps it a one-possession game to possibly tie or win. Napa just needs to get down there and score.
Well, they've got plenty of time. There are 7 minutes and 5 seconds to go here in the fourth quarter. And you're in tune with KVON 1440. Napa, California, the voice of the North Bay wine country. And streaming on the Internet at KVON.com. Along with Kent Fry, our field reporter, Jacob Grant. I'm Ira C. Smith, and in the booth, Kerry Rule, our statistician tonight, filling in for Dino Alessio as the Indians take position again. They work the draw, and nothing opened up there. They tried to trap over on the right side, and no trap developed, and the ball carrier, Brandon Herter, was driven back several yards.
Yeah, Cameron DeLego, number 13, was the start of that tough defense there. Nevada Union's defense has really come to play in the second half.
So it is second down and long yardage. They have to get out to the 30-yard line for a first down. Their ball is back at the 11-yard line. So Napa with the ball, but deep in their own territory. And the quarterback is Isaiah Newton, the sophomore, from the gun formation, takes a snap, looks, fires a pass, just went over the head of Cameron Ross, the intended receiver, with white jerseys all around him.
Yeah, Ross was just trying to run down the seam. He had a little opening there. Ball was just overthrown. This is where the lack of depth at quarterback's really hurting Napa. I mean, Newton's doing a good job back there, but he's young, Ira, as you pointed out earlier.
Well, yeah, they've had the injuries. Johnny Torres and But they've got others that they can use. Gunnar Geis or Schiffs. So this is a possession play now on third down. They have long yardage to go. There's going to be a penalty against Herder. He started across the line before the ball was snapped. He just was leaning a little bit and got too much into the lean, and that'll cost him 5 yards for the false start.
And Ira, that's a middle, what you call a middle mistake, not a physical mistake. This is what drives coaches crazy, middle mistakes.
All right, the sophomore, Isaiah Newton, rolled back into the end zone, looks. He fires a long one down the left sideline, and it's just out of the reach of PDL. I don't know if there's a flag down there. I heard a whistle back
there's
there.
There's a flag back there by the 5-yard line. And he was open. You know, Newton just needed to be a little bit more patient, let that route develop. He was open.
When you have somebody rushing after you there and you're in the end zone, you want to avert a safety, too.
It's holding on Nevada.
Well, that'll help, that 10 yards. I won't give them a first down, however, as they had 24 yards to go. They had a long way to go after the penalties. Got an update on another score, Kent.
Well, looks like Vintage, with 53 seconds left, took a timeout. It was fourth down, and they scored a touchdown, and they now are going for two. And that's the latest update I have.
They're down by one?
21-20, and they're going to go for two. Dylan Leach wants to go for the win on the road for the Vintage Crushers. What a great comeback.
Hey, what excitement. Yeah, they were down by three touchdowns.
They were coming down 21-0 at half. So it's 21-20 going for two.
Okay, it's fourth down, and Napa shows that they're going to go for it, even though they are back on their own 21-yard line. So, and they need 10 yards for it.
Sure, yeah, it's third down, Irish, because of the penalty.
Oh, that's right. There you go, back to the third down. I wondered how they were lining up in that fashion. Newton rolling out to his right now, squares. Look, fires another wobbly long one down, and it is caught at the 45-yard line by
Michael Blattis.
Blattis is the one that got it, yeah.
Yeah, that ball just floated up there a long time. Blattis just
Blattis
went up.
Blattis has a pretty good game going here.
Not bad at all.
Well, that was kind of a wobbly pass, but it got the results that were
necessary.
It
was wobbly and stayed up there, and Blattis just went up and got it.
Well, what would be exciting is if Napa scores again and has a chance to go for a two-point conversion.
Well, we may see it yet. They're at the 45 of the Nevada Union Miners.
We'll keep you posted on that Vintage game there, two up in Roseland against Wood Creek. Inside of 6 minutes to go here. Still plenty of time in this one. Isaiah Newton hands off then they change his direction there as Herder goes to his right and gets back to the line of scrimmage. He saw the opening close on the right. He started to the left. No opening there either. So he elected to go. His first thought was the slot on the right, but it had closed. And
Ira, the first half, Napa had success running the ball north and south, meaning up in between the tackles with the option and so forth. And now they're trying to run this spread east and west game and give it to the motion back, and that's just not happening.
PDL goes out to the left side, getting single coverage out there. And the quarterback looks to him, gets the pass to PDL, got it at the 40-yard line. The 35 dives forward, and he's getting very close to that first down. Well, PDL was one-on-one coverage out in the left flat. He was able to get open, and Napa was able to get the first down at the 35-yard line of the Miners.
Moving the chains. I think we have a timeout. Ira,
no, I think he was just moving the chains.
Moving the chains, okay. Yeah. Ira, Vintage has converted the two-point conversion.
Oh, my God.
5 seconds left. They are winning the ball game.
Oh, my.
22-21. They were down 21-0 at halftime.
Wow, what a game.
Unbelievable.
There. So it's two wideouts to the right side for Napa now. And the ball is dropped, a loose ball, and is covered by Napa. The quarterback never really got a hold of the ball as Newton fumbled it around and
took his eyes off of it.
And who dove in there? One of the Napa players to get that fumble. It looks like it was Christian Sanchez, the center.
Newton's the only dressed quarterback left.
Okay. So.
So Torres is not dressed, Jake.
What about Gunner?
Torres and Gunner are both not dressed.
Okay. Oh.
Okay. And Tinnen not suited up for this one either. Some of their good players. Newton getting rushed.
Good job.
To run with it. The 35, the 30 steps out of bounds. Well, they're trying to set a screen, it looked like, but it never developed.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
By going out of bounds, that stops the clock now with 3:25 to go here in the fourth quarter. 14-7 to score. Nevada Union has the lead. Napa has the football at the Miners' 30-yard line. Heading to that south end zone. The ball is over at the left side hash marks. And they've got a sophomore quarterback, Isaiah Newton, who is 5'11", 165 pounds. And it's like someone taking a timeout.
Nevada Union called timeout.
Nevada Union takes their first timeout. Napa still has all three of their timeouts remaining. 3:25 to go here. Well, Kerry, only, a couple scores on one side of the scoreboard and one on the other side.
Well, we almost had a field goal by Nevada, but that was, you know, just slightly to the left, so they weren't, but they could have had a demanding lead. But, you know, you never know what's going to happen here. Napa could come back and tie it up.
Well, give your magazine a little plug about Napa Valley Life, where people can get copies.
We direct mail 15,000, and then we have another 5,000 that are in high-traffic locations all across the Napa Valley. And we have about 2,000 that go across the country of people that actually subscribe and want to get the magazine.
How do you come up with such good quality?
As far as stories, I have a brain book full of stories, and I could probably fill the next 10 years with all the stories that I have in my head.
Well, I mean, the actual physical magazine, too.
It's a lot of work, and we come out six times a year. We have four seasonal and two annual publications.
Quarterback rolling out. His pass is just incomplete. Little underthrown there as Cameron Ross, the intended receiver.
Boy,
but
here's
there
another
was a flag drop there, too, Kent.
Another late flag. Did someone say something here?
I don't know if it... Ross did a good job of just coming up. Ineligible receiver. As the call. An ineligible receiver on that play. Well, we still have over 3 minutes to go here in this game. Napa trying to get their offense in gear.
And I just want to say congratulations to Vintage High School. I'm kind of a split personality mom. I had two kids that went to Napa High, and my oldest daughter went to Vintage. So I'm rooting for both teams.
And Vintage is final up there, Kerry. Vintage has won the game.
Wow, way
22-21.
Dylan Leach and company there. Wow, the Crushers are 3-0 now on the season. That's a big win. That team they played, Wood Creek, is in the same league that Nevada Union is in. And Wood Creek beat Nevada Union last year. And here is Napa coming up on third down, 10 yards to go. Newton out to the left, getting Rice, running out of the pocket, throwing on the run. And it is caught inside the 10-yard line, down to about the 7-yard line. And the PDL, he did it again. Well, now they say, wait a minute.
They're saying he was out of bounds when he caught it. What's really weird here, Ira, that side judge, the linesman, it had the view of it. And yet it was the umpire who came over and called it no good from the center field position.
Well, Jacob, that was right in front of you.
He had 1 foot in bounds. So.
High school football, 1 foot is good. If the first foot hits, it's good.
From my vantage point up here in the booth, it looked like he was in. He had 1 foot in.
I sure thought so. He sure thought so, too. I think See, that was Frank Griffin, I think, that made that call.
That was a bad call. The linesman should have been watching that because it was obvious.
The linesman was watching it. That's what I'm getting at. And he let this other guy come over and overtake him.
Yeah.
But if the first foot
would have been first and goal to go.
If the first foot lands in bounds in high school football, that's good.
Instead, that makes it fourth down and 10 yards to go from the 35-yard line. So Napa needs to pick up 10 yards. You can be assured that the Miners will just try to run out the clock, even though Napa still has three timeouts remaining.
Ira, they just need to run a curl pattern right in that 12-yard zone. Don't try to go long. Just sit in the curl.
Well, Napa's going to take a timeout. This is a very important play coming up for Napa position. They're on fourth down and 10 yards to go. They need to get to the 25-yard line for a first down, and the ball is out at the 35-yard line. Napa heading toward that south end zone, and the ball is at the right side hash mark. So they have the long side of the field to the left for this upcoming play.
You know, I just have to say kudos to Isaiah Newton, you know, coming in as a sophomore, filling in at quarterback. He's had seven passes. He's completed four, and he's for 62 yards. That's amazing.
He's got some speed, too. He started out as a wide receiver. The start of the season, he was going to be the starting quarterback, but then had a hand injury to his right hand. Now he is left-handed, but that still affected him holding the football correctly.
Yeah, absolutely. This could be coming up here, and he has. And Kerry's done a good job. He's still young, but yet he's playing with the big boys. It's varsity football. You can't make mental mistakes.
Yeah, that injury he had was a contusion. The top of the wrist is how they described it that he had early in the season. But he's quarterbacking now on a huge play on fourth down, and he goes into the shotgun-type formation as he gets the snap, rolls to his left.
Right there. PDL's
fires, and there's a flag on the play as he overshoots the mark, but I don't think it was defensive pass interference. It did not look like it.
No, these guys are flag happy, I'm telling you.
Boy, that was...
Jake, can you see what happened down there?
Pretty close to you.
They're calling PI on Napa?
No, it's defense.
PI on Nevada Union, wow. And PDL was open on that curl. He ran about a 15-yard curl, but he was overthrown. But the big call, pass interference against Nevada Union.
It was pretty obvious. I mean, he had his hands so far up his jersey, he was like adjusting his pads for him.
Okay.
So that was a good call is what you're saying, Jake?
A good call.
Okay.
It makes up for the bad call we just had previously.
I don't know. That bad call Napa would have had the ball first and goal at the 7-yard line.
I like it, Kerry. Spoken like a true fan. I love it.
Now they have the ball first down, but it's at the 20-yard line. But at least they're trying to sustain this drive. 3 minutes to go. As the quarterback keeps the ball, he cuts inside the 20, he's to the 15, goes inside the 10, down to the 8, to the 7, to the 6, and down, and the flag comes
another
out.
Another flag after the play's over. My goodness.
It looks like it's going to go against the Miners this time, and it was right around the 6-yard line where Napa had the ball.
Face mask, Ira.
Face mask. Half the distance to the goal. It'll give Napa a first down at the 3-yard line. First down and goal to go. We're just inside of 3 minutes remaining in this one. 2:54 to go. Nevada Union 14, Napa High 7. Napa at the Miners 3-yard line and first down.
So, Ira, young Chuy Martinez, first-year head coach, I know he has Troy upstairs talking to him, but, I mean, are you talking about, you got to get it in here for 6, but are you talking about 2-point, you thinking about a 2-point play here?
It's interesting that Nevada Union, when they scored their last touchdown, went for a 2-point conversion on the water pick play, the one that Napa has used so often. Well, they line up in the eye, quarterback is under center, that's Isaiah Newton. Newton takes a snap. hands it off to Herter, and Brandon is stopped as he tries to slither over left tackle. It looked like he got stopped right at the line of scrimmage. He tried to get that extra yard, but I think he stopped for no gain. They haven't put the ball down yet. Now they do, and it's no gain on the play. So second down and goal to go from the three-yard line. Napa has had its trouble inside the red zone of getting into that blue zone.
It really is, Ira. They've had a really tough time putting it in the end zone.
Okay, they have in that backfield Dawson Trent, too. Let's see who they give it to. They give it to Herter again. He slithers inside the two, the one. He's in the end zone. Touchdown, Brandon Herter. And Napa's within 1 point of tying the game. Will they go for one? Will they go for two? We will see here.
They're going for two, Ira. Coach Chuy Martinez giving the play call to Newton right now.
It would be interesting if they go for the water pick and score two. What are they going to do? They have two timeouts remaining. There still are 2 minutes to go in the game, so the Miners would still have a chance to come down the
field.
They're
taking too much time. They're going to have to burn a timeout here.
Well, they've got two of them and only 2 minutes to go. They could.
Yeah, he just called it.
So, Napa, this is a very important extra point attempt. If you go for one, you would tie it up and perhaps have an overtime. If you go for two, you could win. If you miss, you lose. And as we heard in the vintage game, they went for two after trailing by 1 point, and they made it to win by one.
Yeah, I tell you, what exciting football right now.
Boy, both. And American Canyon was having an exciting football game, too, against Will C. Wood.
Well, I don't know if you know, but the last time Napa High played Nevada Union, they did win by 1 point.
Yeah, that was last year. That was 35-34 was the final. And after that, Nevada Union didn't win again last year. They were 2-8 and 0-6 in the league, but that league is so darn tough. While Napa won the league, they're the three-time defending MEL champions. They were 7-4 and 5-0 in the league. So you know that included a win over Vacaville. Whenever you get that, that can be one of the highlights of a season. So this is going to be extra point try. And Napa is coming out to go for two with 2 minutes to go. The quarterback gets the ball. He lobs it towards the end zone. There's a flag on the play.
Flag down. They're going to call PI.
Well,
face guarding or PI, because defender never turned around. Yeah.
Yeah. So to go to the 1 yard line, then I think, but this was on an extra point try.
Newton underthrew him, Ira. He needs to overthrow the ball. Give PDL a chance to go get it. You can't underthrow that ball.
All right, we're going to try it again from the 1 yard line. The ball is brought back,
they're going to power up and try to run the same play that they ran that touchdown on. Look for Herter.
You don't have that power running back that you've had in the past.
No, but I'm looking for Herter to carry the ball over the left side.
All right.
Call coming in.
Huge
Chuy
play
Martinez
coming
here.
Up now. 14-13. Nevada Union has the lead. Here comes Napa up to the line. One-on-one against PDL out on the left side. Newton hands it off to Herter, and he's stopped at the 5 yard line. They didn't get close.
Nope. Nevada Union sniffed it out.
Yeah. Well, they have not had any success in those short yardage situations when they get down inside the 10 anyway. They have had a problem, but they trail by 1 point now, 14-13. They won by 1 point, as Kerry alluded to last year. Last week, PDL had a touchdown. He had it on a 12-yard pass play. In fact, the defense last week, Kent, held Reardon to minus yards in rushing.
Yep, and I know Reardon likes to throw the ball, and there was some, I know Jake and I were talking about it before the game, some weather issues down there, and it prevented from Reardon from throwing their passing attack as well, but again, is a great tribute to the Napa defense. The Napa defense plays tough. It's just that they're out on the field all night long, Ira. You and I have discussed this over and over.
Yeah, they had particularly noticeable in that series when the Miners came down and scored and used the water pick to get the two extra points.
Right. They just ran right over. Napa was gassed at that time.
So with 2 minutes remaining, Napa's going to have to force some kind of a turnover here. Newton had started out on the field. The coaches called him back. They're not going to have him out there on the specialty teams. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. They got 11 out there already. So Newton got back quickly on the sideline. And kicking off this time is going to be Carlos Mendez and not Jose Acosta. So Mendez probably going to try the onside kick attempt here.
They're setting it up for it.
Yeah.
Nevada Union has their hands team out there.
There's the whistle. Here's Mendez's approach, and it has to go 10 yards, and it does not go 10 yards. It was an ill attempt there on the onside kick.
Yeah, it went 4 yards.
Yeah, 4 yards. And not much of a challenge there for the Miners to get close to the ball even.
So Napa with one timeout left, I don't know if can they get the ball back just on downs if Nevada Union doesn't run any plays here.
No, they well, Nevada Union with the ball at the Napa 44-yard line, and Napa with only one timeout remaining. And Napa did get its touchdown way back in the second quarter when first play of the second quarter. Well, here we come up now as the quarterback hands off, and they grab him behind the line of scrimmage, and Dawson Fay is dropped for a loss. Let's see if Napa takes their last time out. They're letting the clock run down.
Keola Frazier on the stop there.
So second down and about 14 yards to go for a first down.
This is where clock management comes in, Ira. This is where you want your quarterback just to be looking over the sideline, saying, okay, start to play, go up to the out of the huddle now, now start to play. Give him about 7 seconds to get the play off.
Yeah, they get up to the line very quickly, though, like they do. Vacaville used to do that. There's the handoff to Gonzalez. He picks up a first down, the 30, the 25, and ridden out of bounds by Blattis. Michael Blattis got over to him, but it was the speedy-running Israel Gonzalez, who's only 5'8", 160 pounds, that got into the open slot and took the ball for a first down. That pretty well sealed it.
Let's see what Nevada Union does if they go into victory formation, because they can they just keep the ball even though Napa has one timeout. Yeah, they're going to go into victory formation here. Smart play by Nevada Union.
Yeah, they just downed the ball, and I don't know if Napa even utilized that final timeout. Probably not. The Napa just letting the clock run down now, and all that Nevada Union has to do is to just snap the football, and that will pretty well do it. The credit the Indians with coming back, though, and they were down there 14-7. There's another snap of the ball, and the quarterback downing it. So Nevada Union is going to have the trip back home to Grass Valley on a victory note. But
yep, and that's a long bus ride you like to D on a victory note, that's for sure.
Well, hopefully we can get a score on that American Canyon game.
And just, you know, you just asked there, Ira, I have 42-29 American Canyon over Wilsey Wood as a final.
Oh, that's a final. Okay, well, congratulations.
42-29.
American Canyon, there was their final snap, and that will let the clock run out now. And so that'll be our game. So Vintage wins by one, and the American Canyon wins. Napa loses by one. So we'll be back with our wrap-up and get some final comments here. Final score, Nevada Union 14 and Napa High Indians 13. Well, welcome back in here to Memorial Stadium as the Napa Indians drop to 1-3 on the season. Nevada Union out of Grass Valley goes to 2-2 on the season, as it was, again, a game where defense was the nature of the contest. Kent?
Well, I tell you, Ira, you're absolutely right. The defense was superb on both ends of the field. And it's been the story of Napa High all season long, where their defense has just played superb and kept their team in the game. The Napa offense is struggling all year at this point in time, and they just can't get sustained drives going. And so that's the key, Ira. You got to get some sustained drives going for the Napa High offense to give their defense a break. You got a lot of players going both ways, and Napa has a lot of players banged up. You will not hear the coaches use that as an excuse. They always say, next man up, be ready to go. But the truth is that they are banged up, and they lost another one tonight with Caden Cortez icing his shoulder, so there's some serious issues there. So who's going to play quarterback after Newton if he goes down? That's another. They need to get somebody ready to go. So defense, though, Ira, was a key tonight, and a great defensive struggle with Nevada Union coming out on top, 14-13.
Jacob Grant, how did it look down on the sideline?
Once again, the defensive line had a big push. I mean, there was one point where Jacob Richmond had four offensive linemen on him. He was getting quadruple teamed, and it was just stopping the run around the middle, and then they were having to go to the sides. So he was making an impact.
All right, well, let's check some of the statistics of tonight's contest with our guest statistician, Carrie Rule.
Thanks, Ira. You know, it was definitely a running game. The passing was a little bit meager. Owen Dalbon, he threw 11 times. He made four completions, 77 yards. I'm sorry, that's for Nevada. Cortez, he was actually doing good until he got injured. He threw 12 times for 67 yards. But, you know, Isaiah Newton, being the sophomore that he is, he threw 8 times for 62 yards, so he was pretty even with Cortez. But Cortez did a lot of running right before he got injured, and he ran for 63 yards. So very similar in yardage, both throwing and running. And I just, you know, I think Brandon Herter did a great job, you know, in the fourth quarter running that 4-yard run. We had a pretty quiet first quarter. Cortez ran into the end zone to get that first touchdown. We did get the extra point. We went ahead 7-0. But then, unfortunately, on the kickoff return, Dawson Fay from Nevada came back, a 90-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. They did not get the extra point, so we did have that one-point favor. And then in the third quarter, Hayden Lee Dawson Fay came back, did the 1-yard touchdown, brought it up to 12-7, and then Hayden Lee had the 2-point conversion. They did miss a field goal in the fourth quarter, which it kept it really tight. Kudos to Brandon Herter, who ran a 4-yard run in the fourth quarter with 2 minutes left, brought it within 1 point, but unfortunately they decided to go for a 2-point conversion rather than trying to tie it up. I'd be kind of curious to know what would have happened if we went for that extra point. It would have been 14-14. Would we be here in overtime? I don't know. That's Monday morning quarterbacking.
All right, Gary. Well, let's select our players of the game. First of all, let's look at the Nevada Union roster, and Kent, we'll let you lead off.
Well, Ira, you got quite a few to pick from. Dawson Fay obviously stands out, the superb running back. Owen Dalbon, the quarterback, I think was is superb. And, of course, how can you not overlook Justin Houlihan, the middle linebacker who also played some fullback and I think was on the receiving end of that fake putt. But
he did so much.
That's a tough one.
One of the leading defenders.
Yeah, you're right.
That's a long snapping.
And, you know, I expect Owen Dalbon as the quarterback to lead that team, so I'm cutting him out. But it's a toss-up for me between Dawson Fay and Justin Houlihan. But I tell you, I got to go with the coach's son, Houlihan. I just think he played hard-nosed. Nothing against Dawson Fay. If I, you know, maybe I'll split it between them, Ira. I mean, they're both, they both stood out tonight for the Nevada Union Miners.
All right, Jason Grant.
I'd say that Dawson Fay is my number one guy for Nevada Union. I mean, the kid's got a future somewhere if he can keep it up at this pace.
And I think also some of the others would play the next level. Kerry, who would you pick?
For Nevada, you know, Dawson Fay was running a lot. He ran for 16. But, you know, Gonzalez really surprised me. He ran for 5, but for 65 yards. So my vote is for Gonzalez, number 4.
Okay. Well, I'm going to back up what Kent said, and I'm going to make the decision of Justin Hullahan, because he did so much. He was outstanding on defense, and when he was in the game, you know something was going to happen. If he was there, he was going to block. Now, they did mess up on giving him the ball when they were trying on to punch it into the end zone on a fourth down play. And I thought that another guy, Garrett Graves, that we talked about at halftime, who made that key interception. That was huge when Graves came up with that interception. And so all of the travails that he has gone through, the health problem that he has been working on to overcome just to get out there and play football, I kind of liked his guttiness out there at the cornerback position, too. So let's now turn it to Napa High. And Kerry, we'll lead off with you.
You know, this is a really hard one. You know, Herter, or Brandon Herter, you know, ran a lot, but, you know, he didn't really pick up a lot of yardage. But Cortez, before he got injured, he ran for 63 yards. He passed for 67 yards. But I'm kind of going towards the newbie, Isaiah Newton. I mean, he came in, you know, kind of filling in. He's a sophomore, but he passed for 62 yards and he even rushed for 31. So he's my pick.
Okay, now let's go over to Jacob Grant.
So I have a guy who's good based off his stats and a guy who's good based off his impact. And I would say Jacob Richmond is the guy off the impact. I mean, he was taking up 80% of the linemen when he was on the field. And towards the end of the game, he was pushing guys back 8 yards back behind the line of scrimmage. So he was making a big impact affecting the quarterback for Nevada Union. And then just based off stats, I'd have to go with Caden before the injury. I mean, he made an impact in the first half and a little bit in the third quarter.
And Kent Fry.
Caden Cortez played well in the first half. He really did. And he's coming along. He's improving at quarterback. Dawson Trent, you can't overlook Dawson Trent. And Jake's right. You could give the game ball to Jacob Richmond every game. There's no doubt about it. This guy's a stud down there at nose tackle. He'll be all league. Hopefully he wants to play, you know, beyond the next level because he has the talent to do it.
And this is his first year, I think.
You know, he's doing it. Yeah. I tell you, a guy who came out of nowhere tonight was Kyle Berryhill from the safety spot, number 29. He made some great defensive plays. And Ira, another guy who came out finally, I've been waiting for this, is Alex Perez de Leon.
Yeah.
He was open a lot tonight. He ran much better routes. He made some key catches. That two-point
play. They were not easy catches
either. The two-point play, he was wide open, and the ball was just underthrown. Newton underthrew him, and otherwise this game would have been over. It would have been a victory for Napa High. But so I was, you know, kudos to PDL on that.
But there are a couple other guys on the roster you haven't named.
Well, I could name a few, but, you know, just to stay away from Jacob Richmond, who deserves it every week. He really does.
Okay.
I'm going Kyle Berryhill.
Okay, very good. One, the guy that we haven't mentioned that I like, Michael Blattis, had a pretty good game.
Blattis did have a good game.
I like that. Yep. But I'm going to go with PDL because of his fine reception, and he's out there as a decoy a lot of times, and I thought it was his best game.
And he played well on defense, too.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's who I'm going with. Well, anyway, I'd like to thank our crew, and I'll give you a chance for another comment before we sign off here. But I want to take a look at next week because Napa is playing a state champion. They go to Chico to play Pleasant Valley, while Nevada Union will be at Rockland and then at Del Oro. They go in league play next week then. Those are some of the teams. At Rockland, I think, was 3-0 going into tonight's action. Napa will not be home again until October the 13th. It's almost a month away when they will be against Rodriguez High School. And the first well, after next week's Pleasant Valley game, Napa has a bye. And then October 6th, they'll be at Will C. Wood to start MEL play. Vintage, after that big win today, they are 3-0. They will be back here at Memorial Stadium to host Lincoln of Stockton, a game that we'll broadcast. We'll be on the air at 7 o'clock next Friday night. Justin Siena will be home to San Rafael. That game originally was scheduled for the 29th. And if you have one of our football broadcast schedules, you'll see we have that scheduled for the 29th. But they changed the date to the 22nd. We already had American Canyon slated in there for the 22nd. So that game will not be broadcast, even though Justin Siena is home to San Rafael. We will be broadcasting on KVYN, the American Canyon, hosting San Francisco Mission. And St. Helena will be home next week to St. Vincent de Paul. Calistoga, also home to Rincon Valley. Sonoma Valley, home to Elsie Allen. And I want to mention that game tomorrow at 3 o'clock over in Petaluma, their big game, Petaluma against Casa Grande. And that's at Casa Grande football field tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. And that's their version of the big game. And those two schools will be in that new league with Napa and Vintage and American Canyon and Justin Siena and Sonoma Valley next year. And there still will be an MEL without Napa and Vintage. That will be in addition to Vacaville and Will C. Wood. They will have Fairfield and Armio and Vanden and Benicia in that league. And I think maybe one other, but I'm not sure on that. So that's pretty much what is coming up. So, Kent Fry, final comment from you?
Well, Ira, it's just, you know, it's a story that you and I have been talking about all year. It's just Napa's offense. They just need to find somehow, some way to get their offense moving and clicking on a regular basis. Their defense is very well prepared, and they play tough. But they need to get that offense moving on a consistent basis, not just here and there. And it's very spotty. And I know they're facing a lot of injuries and so forth, but again, you just have to pull together and get the offense. So for Napa High, it's all about the offense that just needs to get going.
Okay, Jacob?
Yeah, I wish that they didn't have to rely on so many two-way players, because if they could keep that defense as just primary defense, I mean, they would pitch a shutout every game. They wouldn't have to worry about scoring too many points. So I would try to move towards that and keep some of those guys stationary on defense.
Okay, fine. And filling in tonight, Carrie Rule, do you have a final comment?
All I just want to say is thank you for this opportunity. It's been a long time since I've done some statistics. The last sport that I did for 5 years was lacrosse. That's a very fast-moving game, and I used to do football all the time, but thank you for reminding me how much I don't know anymore. So, thank you.
Well, I'll tell you, this got some pretty fast-paced at times in this ball game, so good luck to you and Napa Valley Live, too. When's your next issue coming?
Our next issue will be out the 1st of October. It's our fall issue, followed by our winter, which is our 16th annual Intriguing Napa Valley Residents Worth Getting to Know.
Okay, and you've got 20 years already in the book. So,
well, come November, it'll be 20 years.
Well, that's a really nice publication that you have there. And our thanks to Charles Kennedy, our engineer at KVON. He'll be around with the sports vine tomorrow. Kent, are you going to be around with that?
Absolutely. I'm going to be hosting with Charles
Kennedy
tomorrow.
9 o'clock.
That's right. And also known as George Carlin and many other names of Charles Kennedy, the great Charles Kennedy. We're going to have Bob Becker, head professional golf pro at the Chardonnay Golf Club.
That must mean that there's a golf tournament.
There's the big Safeway.com opening up right here at Silverado Country Club and Resort first weekend in October, right around the corner. So we're going to talk football a little bit, but we're going right to the golf because the big stud golfers are coming to Napa Valley.
Well, it should be an interesting program. From 9 to 10, the sports fine tomorrow.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Then Charles Kennedy stays right on there with the swap shop right after that. And it's all sent your way with the good wishes of our Napa Valley sports boosters. After all, they're the ones that make it possible for us to be out here and cover the sports scene around the calendar on KVON. I'm Ira C. Smith, along with Kent Fry, Jacob Grant, Gary Rule, and our engineer, Charles Kennedy, wishing you a very pleasant good evening. The final scores here tonight in the J. the action. It was Antelope defeating Napa High 41-0. And in the freshman game, Napa High defeated Nevada Union 33-13. And in the varsity action, it was Nevada Union of Grass Valley 14 and Napa High 13. This has been a KVON Sports presentation.